office, such as plasters, paints, tiles, and more, drop by Eco Design Resources of Santa Cruz and tell them that Deborah sent you. I'd be very happy. And remember, the weekly reader poll, it's due by the 15th. Let them know about Deborah Lindsay as the best DJ and KRXA as the best radio station and the best place for a political discussion. A couple of places you can pop those in. We'd be highly grateful for your support. Thank you very much for giving me part of your afternoon. Have a great one. And remember, tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend. And stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show that's coming up next after the CBS News.
I got to meet you, baby, but I can't get up the nerve. Trying to justify the fact that you're what I deserve. Jenny, 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 you're so equipped with class. Especially when you're wearing that navy blue and brass. You're so very cool, I'm so very not. Lord have mercy, you're a motorcycle cop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
News. I'm Barry Bagnato, live in Olney, Maryland. Polls are open 2 more hours in Maryland and D.C., 1 more hour in Virginia as voters pour out in key presidential primaries, Republican and Democratic.
I'd like to see the first woman that has the ability and skills and depth to do it.
Obama. I think he can bring the nation together better than the candidates.
I'm Peter Mayer in Fairfax, Virginia. Exit polls again show the country's at a socio and political turning point because of the Clinton-Obama race. More than 8 in 10 voters in the Maryland and Virginia primaries say the country is ready to choose a woman or a black president. Voters in both parties in both states say the economy is their top concern.
In those exit polls, Democrats say Barack Obama is more qualified than Hillary Clinton to be commander-in-chief. I'm Barry Bagnato, live in Olney, Maryland. Now here's Cammy McCormick.
The Bush administration unveiled a new plan today to help out homeowners in danger of foreclosing.
A half dozen major financial institutions plan to contact homeowners 90 days or more late on their payments to offer them a 30-day freeze on foreclosure to try to work out new terms. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson.
These efforts are to help American families who both want and can, through a loan modification or refinancing, stay in their homes.
Project Lifeline begins as a growing share of home sales are from foreclosures. An Associated Press analysis shows nearly half of home sales in parts of California are of foreclosed houses. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The full Senate's now voted to protect phone companies that allowed government eavesdropping before courts approved it. More than 40 lawsuits have been filed against AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint for violating Americans' privacy rights to help the government spy after 9/11. The measure faces a tough fight in the House, though. Caroline Fredrickson is with the ACLU.
We're really pushing the House to stand strong. The House passed a bill in the fall that had no immunity for the law-breaking telecommunications companies, and that also had greater protection, somewhat more oversight by the court system.
Lockheed Martin has won a huge contract to build a computer database of biometric information that could store digital images of faces and fingerprints. Still no word on what made an Atlantis astronaut so sick after he had to be pulled from a spacewalk this week. Correspondent Peter King was the first reporter to talk to him this afternoon.
He's doing well enough to head out on the mission's second spacewalk tomorrow.
I feel really great right now.
But Hans Schlegel is not saying anything about his mystery illness.
Medical issues are private.
He tells CBS News the first spacewalk went fine without him.
And I fully back the decision what we did to make the most success out of our mission so far.
Schlegel says he was disappointed to miss the first spacewalk, but the big picture is more important than his own personal feelings. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
On Wall Street today, the Dow finished up 133 points. This is CBS News.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents A Word from Your Tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa, replace?
I could do it right there at a great... great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12-3108.
Music filled the White House today. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller was there for an event marking Black History Month.
I got sunshine.
No one at the White House seemed able to resist the Temptations as they performed some of their classic hits and moves. It was an East Room event marking African American History Month, which President Bush used to denounce racially motivated displays of nooses.
The noose is not a symbol of prairie justice, but of gross injustice.
He said such displays are deeply offensive and have no place in America. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
London, already one of the most expensive cities on earth, just got more so. The mayor there says drivers of gas-guzzling cars will have to pay the equivalent of $49 a day to enter central London. More fuel-efficient vehicles will pay less. It's part of a plan to cut congestion and pollution in the British capital. I'm Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Mr. Blue Light here with Greg. And what, sir, are you getting your girlfriend for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, she said not to get her anything, so I'm not.
What she meant by that is that she wants you to surprise her with something from the heart.
This Valentine's Day, Kmart's Best of Blue has a beautiful half-carat diamond pendant for $99.99 that comes with a free box of Russell Stover chocolates.
Make this Valentine's Day sweet at Kmart.
Valid in continental U.S. only. While supplies last, assortment may vary by store. No range check. Sale ends 2/14/08. Diamond carat weights never more than 0.5 low stated weight.
At Mercedes-Benz, our affordable certified pre-owned vehicles come with the rich legacy of engineering that is Mercedes-Benz. And a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, and a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz retains its integrity because, as a company, we have ours. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about the certified pre-owned program by Mercedes-Benz.
See dealer for complete details and warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Well, my CD player has a hiccup, but I'm okay. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. We've got a lot to talk about, some great people to talk with on the program today. In our second hour, we're going to take a look at a shameful vote in the United States Senate today. Amnesty for the telephone companies in the illegal eavesdropping and surveillance of American citizens. We'll read you the list of the 19 shameful Democrats who voted for it. And we may be joined by a representative of the American Civil Liberties Union. We're working on that right now. Jason Leopold will be with us next hour, investigative reporter. And Melanie Sloan will check in from CREW, that's Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Also on today's show, Tom Unsicker, who rode his bicycle from Santa Cruz to Washington, D.C. He's back on the left coast. We're going to debrief him on his effort to bring courage to Congress. It was kind of a mixed bag. Or bags. You decide. You can call into this program toll-free at any time. 888-5. Peter B. is my toll-free number. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. In our first hour today, I'm pleased to bring the voice of a former CIA analyst, a guy who ran the Bin Laden unit for many years, Michael Scheuer. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell.
This ain't no technological breakdown. Oh no, this is the road to hell.
Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. That's the newest book from Michael Scheuer. He risked his job at the CIA to publish his first book under the name Anonymous at first and then revealed his identity. It was called Imperial Hubris, Why the West is Losing the War on Terror. And he subsequently published a book called Through Our Enemy's Eyes, Osama bin Laden, Radical Islam, and the Future of America. Michael Shore, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you very much, sir. You're very kind to have me.
Well, it's always great to talk with you. You're a fascinating voice. You're the most polite career CIA guy that I've ever talked with. And I can just imagine, as you were preparing to execute me, that you would call me sir. You would ask if, there's a soda or something that you could get for me. And then you would add with some regret that it is your duty to terminate my life. And bye-bye.
Well, I would try to send you out in style, sir.
Yeah, I guess so. Michael, I learned some interesting things from your new book. One is that you and I share something in common. We were trained by the Jesuits.
Yes, sir.
And I don't do all that sir stuff because I kind of parted ways with the Jesuits at the end of high school. But I do think that the education that we got turns us into critical thinkers who are willing to think through things and also resist conventional wisdom and groupthink and just speak for oneself. And
I think that's a perfect way to describe it, sir. The Jesuits teach a man to speak for himself.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right. And it was not always a pleasant experience, but it was at the end of the day, it was a tremendously profitable experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they would know you as Brother Scheuer, and the next time you saw them, they would look right past you as if you weren't existing.
Yeah.
So it was a very testing experience, but a very good one.
Yes, indeed. The other thing that I learned that I wanted to lead off with today is that you were in charge of the CIA rendition program in the early 1990s.
Yes, sir.
And many of us know about extraordinary rendition really only in recent years as it was utilized by the Bush administration. And I happen to be a sharp critic of the manner in which it has been used. But one of the things that rendition links to many of the other subjects that we'll discuss is that you fault Republicans and Democrats for failed foreign policies, and we'll discuss them in more detail. But talk a little bit about rendition and your own view of it and how it was employed by President Bill Clinton.
Yes, sir. We were directed in the middle of 1995 by Mr. Clinton. Mr. Berger then was in the White House, and Richard Clark, to begin to dismantle as many cells of al-Qaeda as we could find around the world. The intelligence at that time was showing very clearly that it was unlike any other terrorist group we had seen in terms of sophistication, dispersal, geographic dispersal, and intention. And so we did that. The assignment was given to the CIA, and we said, all right, we can do that, but what do we do with the people that are arrested? And Mr. Clinton's administration's answer was basically, that's up to you. And we said, no, you don't get it. We don't run jails. We don't have arrest authority. What do you want us to do with these people? And basically they said it was up to us. So what we decided to do was to focus on individuals in al-Qaeda, senior individuals, who were wanted in another country for a terrorism crime or some other crime, that there was a legal process outstanding for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so those were the portion of the al-Qaeda leadership we focused on. And we went back to the White House as we began this process, this program in the fall of 1995, and said to the White House, listen, here's what we're going to do. Do you want us to do it? And they said yes. And then we said, remember that most of these people are wanted in countries that are on your list of human rights abusers or bad judicial systems, and your State Department is going to be condemning those governments that you want us to take people to. And they said, well, that's a problem. and they said yes, because at the end of the day, we said it more diplomatically, when this becomes public, you will leave the agency holding the bag. And they said, well, will those countries promise to treat these people according to their own laws? And we said, yeah, we're pretty sure that the Egyptians will, or whoever will, mm-hmm. Treat these people according to their own laws. And that satisfied the Clinton administration. Now, there's been some post hoc insistence by Mr. Clinton and Mr. Clark and Mr. Berger that they insisted that these rendered terrorists be treated according to international standards and the standards of U.S. law. And that is really a post hoc lie.
Mm-hmm.
That was never demanded of any country we took a rendition target to.
So then in the Clinton years, you didn't render people to Egypt unless Egypt had a warrant out for this person?
That's exactly right, sir. The legal guidelines were that anyone who was picked up or who was a target of the CIA had to be a legitimate, you had to have information showing that he was either involved in terrorist activities, intended to be involved, or was a planner. And you had to convince the lawyers of that, and he had to have an outstanding judicial process somewhere in the world for him.
Mm-hmm.
And until you met those criteria, you could not undertake the operation.
Okay, and in these cases, if you overflew European airspace, for example, did you apply for permits, or did you skirt those laws and simply assert America's right to operate in this manner?
We're treading into areas, sir, where I'm not at liberty to talk about,
mm-hmm.
but I think you can imagine that this program, all clandestine programs, are just that, clandestine. But the idea that you could fly through European airspace without their permission is, of course, a non-starter. No one can fly over another country's airspace, especially a European country, without having a genuine problem if you do so without announcement or without permission.
Then from what you know of the rendition program under the Bush administration, do you feel that they violated those rubrics?
You know, I don't think so. I think there is an obligation to ask permission to fly through an airspace. I'm not sure there's always an obligation to declare what's on the aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
The real irony here, sir, is I've always been surprised, as you mentioned, that the media has focused so much on rendition under Mr. Bush,
mm-hmm.
which at the end of the day probably is a much more humane process than the one that was executed under Mr. Clinton.
Because?
Certainly we do nothing that approaches the level of the possible level of brutality or torture that's done in Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah, but we have the cases that are on the books of Maher Arar, the Canadian, and Al-Masri, the German, who were subjected to rendition. They were taken initially to American facilities where they report that they were tortured. And in the case of Maher Arar, he was a Syrian exile who did not want to be repatriated. That was his biggest fear. And we sent him to Syria, where he reports he was tortured. So in those cases, that stretches your point, Mr. Shorter.
Well, I think I would say there's two different things. As far as I'm aware, Khalid al-Masri was an operation conducted by the clandestine service.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the dossier on him.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to make a decision again today on the basis of the information that was available, I would have said do it again, or I would have asked permission to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Maher Arar,
right,
was
Canadian.
Not an agency operation. That was something done that was done at the request through the FBI, at the request of the Canadian.
Hmm, I see. Well, that is an important distinction. I understand that. Have you seen the movie Rendition?
I have not, sir, no.
Okay. Well, then I won't get your review.
Okay.
Michael Shorter is with us. As we continue, I want to dive into his new book, Marching Toward Hell. He's trying to tell us something, and I hope you'll listen. We're going to continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment along the way, feel free to join us. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment with former CIA officer Michael Shorter here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. It's 22 minutes after the hour. Michael Scheuer spent more than 20 years working for the Central Intelligence Agency. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. And there are a number of powerful comments and observations that he makes in the book. He believes that we have a bipartisan failure of political leadership and foreign policy, and doesn't single out Bush over Clinton or Clinton over Bush in that respect. He also believes that America has tilted too much toward Israel and Saudi Arabia in its policies in the Middle East. And I certainly agree on both of those counts. And, Michael, I'd like to just start off here with a quote from very close to the end of your book here. And you talk about, you make an assertion that we have been defeated in Iraq and Afghanistan. I want to talk about that in a moment. But you write, at base, the United States has been defeated in Iraq and Afghanistan because U.S. leaders forgot or ignored the history of their country. The founders clearly saw the undoing of their republic if its government became involved in efforts to install the American model abroad, even if such an endeavor was launched in response to requests for help from foreign champions of liberty and democracy. You lift a quote from John Quincy Adams in 1821, and then citing it, you go on. The results for America of enlisting under banners other than her own are now being played out in the mountains, deserts, and cities of Afghanistan and Iraq. In trying to install America's system in devoutly Islamic lands, U.S. leaders display an arrogance derived from an odd combination of ignorance and naivete. Ignorance in not recognizing America's uniqueness or accepting that our political experience is not reproducible in a society characterized by the powerful pervasiveness of the Islamic faith. And you go on to say, naivete in not realizing that people like Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan, Ahmed Chalabi, our boy in Iraq, are quintessential representatives of what Adams called men of individual avarice, envy, and ambition, who can be counted on to assume the colors and usurp the standard of freedom. I think this is a very powerful statement. Do you care to amplify a little bit?
Well, we talk so much about the founders today, sir, as if we knew what we were talking about. And what I tried to point out there, as you read it, was that the founders were very sure in their wisdom that America was a unique entity. Not that it was better than anyone else or necessarily better than anyone else, but something that was unique because of our geographical position and our cultural inheritance. And the founders would probably be flipping in their graves at the idea of us trying to install a secular democracy in Afghanistan or in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can forgive any political leader, Democrat or Republican, for not knowing the five times of the day when Muslims pray. Or they don't know the biography of the prophet, or they don't know Islamic history. You can never forgive them for not knowing the history of their own country. And my own view is that our current leadership generation either is ignorant of our history, and they're all supposedly well-educated people, or they have nothing but contempt and a contempt for what Americans have achieved on this continent. And it's astounding. Our democracy started, if you want to pick a date, probably at Runnymede in 1215.
Mm-hmm.
We've been at this 800 years. We've only had a Voting Rights Act in our country since 1964. And through those 800 years, there has been emigration from Europe to here. There has been a revolution, civil war, world wars, depression, lynching, segregation, slavery. And all of that is part of what we are. And for Mr. Bush or Mr. Clinton or now Mrs. Clinton, Senator Obama or McCain to think they're going to digest that material, put it on a CD-ROM and give it to Chalabi or Maliki or Karzai, and have it installed in the next 6 months or 6 years is really an unforgivable error.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're leading America to the road to disaster by doing this.
Well, and if I were to come up with a label, I don't consider you an isolationist, but an America firster. Is that fair?
I think so, a non-interventionist, sir. I'm mm-hmm. really not opposed at all to fighting a war if our national interests are at stake. But I fail to see President Bush in his second inaugural said that increasingly freedom at home and liberty at home in America depends on installing that elsewhere around the world. There is no more silly statement in the course of American history than that one. What you fight for is freedom of the seas against military threats that are aimed at you, Unfortunately for America, in the coming years, we'll be fighting for oil because the Congress has done nothing in 35 years to make us secure in that regard.
Let me jump in. We're going to take a break and return with Michael Scheuer. His new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq. If you have a question or comment, now's the time. 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. Today, the Bank of America, Countrywide, J.P. Morgan Chase, and other big lenders, along with the Department of Housing and Urban Development, are announcing a new plan to help distressed mortgagees, not just subprime ones, but others too, to avoid foreclosures. This recognizes that some people who took out mortgages on homes they paid way too much for are now simply walking away.
With prices going down, the fact is people have very little incentive to stay in their homes, pretty much no matter what the mortgage rate is, given the fact that the debt is greater than the value of the house.
Economist Christopher Thornburg of Beacon Economics. He says the problem is not just that a lot of people are having trouble paying their mortgages.
The problem, of course, is that prices of homes in many parts of the United States have risen to levels that are completely unsustainable.
More after this.
This is a rate alert for February 2008. The Federal Reserve continues to cut interest rates aggressively. Right now, mortgage rates are hovering near lows we haven't seen since 2003. National mortgage leader Quicken Loans reports interest rates around 5.75% on secure fixed-rate loans, APR 5.91%. Smart homeowners are acting quickly to get fixed rates around 5.75% since rates this low seldom last long and tend to move up quickly without warning. Call Quicken Loans at 800-591-3522. In minutes, you can lock in a fixed rate around 5.75% and enjoy lower house payments for years to come. If you missed it in 2003, this is your opportunity for a fixed-rate mortgage around 5.75%. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-591-3522. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-591-3522. That's 800-591-3522.
The New York Times has a front-page headline this morning saying that the mortgage crisis has spread beyond subprime loans. People with good credit and good incomes have mortgages on homes that aren't worth now what they were when they took the mortgages out. A group of big lenders announcing their plan today to give borrowers 90 days behind in payments, 30 days more to figure out options short of foreclosure, are only six among thousands of lenders in this country, although admittedly they are some important ones.
What's helpful here is that it includes some of the biggest, if not the biggest, lenders out there.
Jeff Screenis is housing director with the Hawthorne Area Community Council in Minneapolis.
And it goes beyond just the subprime aspect, and it takes into account everybody who's having an issue.
Other banks may follow suit, but what can be worked out in that 30-day span to put out the fire, spare the economy, the homeowners, the banks, and the taxpayers? Not much, says Christopher Thornburg.
2008 is the year of the walkaway, and I'm not sure what they could do to keep people in those homes, but for, of course, simply limiting the amount of debt, in other words, shrinking that mortgage.
The Osgood File. Transcripts, podcasts, and MP3s of these programs can be found at theosgoodfile.com. I'm Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and my guest, Michael Scheuer. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 1-888-573-8372. Are you ready? Michael Scheuer's new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America, and Islam After Iraq. It's out in hardcover for just $27 from Free Press. And, Michael, I wanted to lift another quote. This one is from the preface to your book, and it'll speak for itself. The absurdity of the debate between bin Laden and U.S. policymakers is palpable and generally unfolds as follows. Bin Laden issues a starkly specific attack on U.S. foreign policy, and Washington responds with defiant words defending a right or liberty that bin Laden has not mentioned and that has nothing to do with his assertion. Thus, bin Laden says, get U.S. forces out of the Arabian Peninsula. Washington responds, you will not prevent our women from going to school. Bin Laden says, stop supporting Russia's genocidal war in Chechnya. Washington responds, you will not disrupt our elections. Bin Laden says, stop supporting the tyrannical Arab police states that oppress and torture. Washington says, freedom is on the march for Arabs. And there are a few more on the list here, but I think people get the idea. And, Michael, do you think there's any hope that at some point we will stop talking past one another and at least listen critically to what Osama bin Laden has been saying since he declared war on the United States in 1996?
Sir, there doesn't seem to be any chance in the next four-year term that we'll do that. Mr. Obama is kind of a blank slate to me in terms of foreign policy, but from what I've read, he sounds very much a status quo person. Mrs. Clinton clearly is a status quo person. And if Mr. McCain is elected, if it's allowable under Islam to do the happy dance in a cave, then Osama bin Laden and his boys will be doing the happy dance.
It's hard to do when you're attached to a dialysis machine.
Yes, yes. I guess it would be the happy foot pitter-pat or something. But, no, you know, we tend to denigrate our enemies as gangsters and nihilists and just simple criminals. I have to say that from my own perspective, there's a touch of genius in bin Laden because he has focused on a set of American foreign policies that polls show to be viewed by 80% of the Muslims around the world as an attack on their faith or on their brethren.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that that percentage is willing to pick up a rifle, but it's a fairly large support base. Our politicians, of course, don't want to talk about unqualified support for Israel. They really don't want to do anything about energy. They're not going to tell the American people that your son or daughter is going to die in a war to protect the gangsters that run Saudi Arabia.
And while we have removed our troops from there, Bush was there just recently holding hands and kissing the king's face. I mean,
yeah, just basically groveling.
Those images, and he asked for more oil, and they said no.
No, well, they're the masters, sir. They control the spigot, and now they control, a good part of our debt they own. And really, you can talk about Russia, you can talk about China as threats to the United States, but there's no nation on this earth that's more threatening to America than Saudi Arabia.
Now, why is it that your opinion is not heard on that issue? I agree with you. From 9/11 forward, I felt we should be focusing on Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, and that Iraq should be way down that list.
Yes, sir. Iraq clearly wasn't a threat to the United States in anyone's imagination, but kind of the fervid imaginations of Feith and Wolfowitz. And the reason that the Saudis aren't more generally condemned, I think it's because they quite liberally bribe the Congress by buying large amounts of American arms, because they hire former senior intelligence officers ambassadors and generals to lobby the White House and the Congress on their behalf.
Somebody like Jim Baker and Madeleine Albright?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And virtually every ambassador, if something happens that makes Saudi Arabia look bad, within a day or two there'll be a full page or a large editorial op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal by a former U.S. ambassador to Riyadh saying what great guys the Saudis are.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is that no American politician wants to admit that we've so squandered our independence that the Saudis control our economy and our debt. So when you add up all those things, sir, it's not surprising that the Saudis are very seldom criticized within the United States government.
And what about Pakistan? Do you regard them with the same concern that I do?
I think Pakistan's a very dangerous place, but I have to say that I tend to think that the problem with Pakistan is more us than them. When you step back for a moment and look at what Musharraf has done for the United States, he has allowed us virtually unfettered overflight rights of his country. He's allowed the expansion of the military and the intelligence services in his country. Every major senior al-Qaeda person captured in his cities has been with the assistance of his services. The port of Karachi is basically a U.S. naval base at this point in time. And he brought his country to the brink of civil war by sending his army into the border areas where it had never been before. Now, for whatever reason, we don't seem to have an appreciation that Pakistan's national interests are extraordinarily different than ours. And so we keep waiting as if this was the Cold War for our Pakistani proxy to take care of our problem. And it's not going to happen. And I think, in at least in my lifetime, only one man gave up his country for a friend, and that was Mullah Omar in Afghanistan. President Musharraf has done all he can do and keep Pakistan together as a functioning, viable nation state.
And, well, I hear what you're saying. At the same time, we've given Musharraf $11 billion.
Yes.
It appears much of it has been squandered or misdirected. And, you know, most Americans think that by now, if Pakistan is a true ally, we would have captured or killed Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri.
Well, I think Americans think that, sir, but I think this is one point where they ought to step back and say, now, where in the Constitution does the executive branch have the power to delegate the protection of America, America's defense, to a third world dictator? And it's just, to me, this is not the Cold War era anymore. We can't count on proxies to do our dirty work. If we're going to have to, if we have dirty work to do, we're going to have to do it. You know, there's a certain blindness, Mr. Collins, in politicians, in not being able to see the other politician's problems. And you don't need to have empathy for them or sympathy for them, but you should have a realistic view of the parameters they set for his conduct.
Well, and I believe the most valuable service you have provided and attempted to provide to an unwilling media and a nation in denial is not sympathy or compassion for the other side, but simply understanding their point of view. And, for example, you point out in the book that it would have been simple enough for Bush and the neocons to research the religious significance of some of the sites in Iraq to Islam, and that by, you know, putting Christian soldiers on Islamic soil, some of it considered very holy, like the city of Najaf, that we have once again been tone deaf and arrogant and ignorant of the, you know, very geography and the history of that part of the world that is so widely known and readily available.
Yes, sir. There's virtually nothing that has happened in Iraq or in Afghanistan that was not predictable with on the basis of reading a few books. I mentioned in the introduction to my book that it started out to be called From Pandora's Box because I initially had bought into the idea that these were unexpected consequences. As I researched, though, doing a lot of historical reading, I found out that you can have unexpected consequences, but they aren't necessarily unpredictable. And virtually everything that has happened to us in Afghanistan happened to Alexander the Great, happened twice to the British Empire, and happened to the Soviet Union. In Iraq, if you read the British Army's reports of the revolt in Iraq in 1920, they experienced basically the same thing we have done now. One of America's besetting faults in my generation is the fact that we don't think history applies to us. I said in the book somewhere, I think, that we try to make history without reading it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're paying the price for that now. History is exacting a dear price on the United States.
Michael Scheuer, our guest, his new book, Marching Toward Hell. In the book, you declare that 8 or 10 different occasions surfaced during the Clinton administration when you had solid intelligence on the location of Osama bin Laden and that the U.S. failed to act. That
yes, sir.
You include a story of a trip that you made to the White House with George Tenet a snowy Sunday just before Christmas in 1998. You had a chance to kill Osama in Kandahar, Afghanistan. And you seem to feel, based on your description here, that the intelligence was very strong. And yet, when George Tenet came out of the White House, the decision was not taken to
yes.
take action. Talk a little bit about this history and what you regard as the failures of the Clinton administration to act on true opportunities to nail the top dogs of Al-Qaeda.
Well, I think that certainly is one, sir. We knew bin Laden was in the governor's palace. We knew which wing he was in, and we saw which room he went into. And on that occasion, the government decided not to try to kill him because some shrapnel might have hit a mosque nearby. And not worshippers, because this was the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
but they argued that the shrapnel scratching a mosque or knocking down part of a mosque would so enrage the Muslim world that Americans would be killed around the world willy-nilly. And really, that's an incredibly racist kind of idea that somehow all Muslims are mad killers if their mosques get scratched.
Well, and you pointed out parenthetically that this was a Sunni area and that Sunnis are less touchy about religious symbols and the sacredness of a building than many Shia are.
Much less so, sir. You know, it's almost heresy at times if you treat a mosque with too much respect because it is symbolic of God, and God is not something to be represented in man-made symbols. So I think the bigger point is, and I try to be nonpartisan on these foreign policy issues. Mr. Bush had a chance to kill Mr. Zarqawi every day for a year before the invasion. He had a chance to get bin Laden at Tora Bora.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that the American people paid for a career for me that was unbelievably beneficial to me and enjoyable and something that I'm proud of. The only disagreeable part of my experience as a CIA officer was over the course of 22, almost 23 years, to see how infrequently the protection of Americans comes first in the consideration of any executive, Democratic or Republican. They're worried about what the Europeans will think about them. They're worried about Muslim opinion. They're worried about whether an arms sale. One time we had a chance to kill bin Laden, and they didn't kill him because he was with a prince from the United Arab Emirates, and the prince's father was about to buy $8 billion worth of F-16.
Oh, God.
So, and it goes on and on. It's, you know, the protection of American citizens generally comes in about fifth or sixth in the list of priorities, in my experience.
We're going to take a break and return with Michael Scheuer. His new book is fascinating, and he's trying to tell us something, as I've been telling you this hour. I hope you can listen to it. It's called Marching Toward Hell. More in a moment. You can grab a line and talk with us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
I took a correspondence class in wiretapping and assassination.
It's the Peter B. Show.
I learned the lingo and the proper etiquette for covert operation. I got my degree in top secrecy, 'cause I'm gonna be a spy.
That's Roy Zimmerman from his latest CD called Faulty Intelligence. You can grab it at royzimmerman.com. We continue with Michael Scheuer, former CIA official, 22 years or so at the agency, and his new book is called Marching Toward Hell, America and Islam After Iraq, and he flatly declares that the U.S. has lost in Iraq and Afghanistan. Michael, there was one part of your book that was really hard for me to swallow, and that was you started off in a kind of criticism of what you call anti-national organizations, and then you get your sledgehammer out for what you call the interlocking network of human rights organizations, and you say that when our troops go into a war zone, that as they seek to kill the enemy in whatever numbers necessary to prevail, these NGOs operate under the prying, biased, busybody and war crimes litigation, eager eyes of human rights groups, monitors, and advocates, and you go on to call them a human rights mafia. Now, isn't that a little bit extreme?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm very concerned with human rights in the United States. I'm not sure that the rules apply the same way in warfare. My own view is that the only mercy in warfare is getting it over as quickly as you can. But I have to tell you that my respect for the human rights people, which was, I'll admit frankly, was never more than moderate, has fallen precipitously as they chase American soldiers or CIA intelligence officers around because someone gets killed in a war. And at the same time, not a voice is raised about the genocide presided over by Putin and the legatees of the Soviet system.
Mm-hmm.
There's something morally suspect, I think, in organizations who are focused on punishing people for the rendition program, for example, but have no concern whatsoever for the legatees of a system that killed 40 million people.
Now, I understand that point, and Michael, I understand your loyalty to your fellow operatives in the Central Intelligence Agency and other parts of our intelligence community. My issue is with those who break the law in authorizing, for example, a CIA officer, or perhaps it was a contractor, to waterboard Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I do not want to see that CIA individual punished, because I believe he or she was doing their job, and we at least know anecdotally that there were individual cables from Washington authorizing individual interrogation activities.
Yes, sir.
What I want to know is who authorized that. And that's what's being stonewalled. And like Abu Ghraib, we are seeing the low-level people vilified and in some cases prosecuted as those who authorized it at the top skate. And that's my issue.
Well, that's a very good issue, sir. You know, the agency, people find it hard to believe because they're not inside, but the agency is palsied by lawyers and legal rulings. But in terms of the CIA rendition program over the last 13 years, it's very clear who authorized it. Everything that was done was authorized by the President of the United States. His authority is required for any operation the CIA conducts, any covert operation.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, both of the intelligence committees in the Congress, in the House and in the Senate, were fully aware of the program, its conduct, and its successes and failures. So I agree with you that the American people need to be squared with. But, of course, Mr. Clinton has run like crazy, saying he demanded from the Egyptians that all rendition people be treated according to U.S. law and international standards,
mm-hmm.
which is a lie. But you're exactly right. It, to my mind, if there's a gripe with this, if there's a problem with this, then the Congress needs to stand up and pass a law that says you can't do this anymore.
All right, let's go to John in Carmel Valley. John, you're on the air with Peter B. and Michael Scheuer.
Someone pointed out if Bush was president at the time of Pearl Harbor, he would have declared war on Iceland, and it's worse than that. It would have probably been Spitsbergen or Sand City or God knows what else. Why I say that is, in my opinion, a bigger mistake even than invading both Afghanistan and Iraq is based on their incredibly false premise that you fight terrorism with conventional military means. We obviously, they didn't learn anything, we didn't learn anything from Vietnam, dealing with the Viet Cong and these phantom-like characters, real guerrillas, and terrorists are more phantom-like, more poltergeist-like than anything we encountered in Vietnam.
John, you make a good point. Let's get a reaction. Michael Scheuer?
I tend to think that there's nothing, that what we're engaged in has almost nothing to do with terrorism. This is much closer to insurgency, and I think there is a legitimate military role for conventional forces in fighting this enemy. The problem our military has is with our politicians, who have convinced the American people and apparently deluded themselves into believing that you can fight an insurgency with very few casualties on your side, no collateral damage, and only killing the most senior leaders of the enemy. Again, it's a matter of not knowing history, of not knowing the reality that man hasn't changed very much in the last several millennia.
And, Michael, just a final question from Steve in Salinas. He wanted to know how sure you are that Osama bin Laden was responsible for 9/11.
Oh, I think there's no doubt about that, sir. You know, The one thing we do have is a pretty good track record of what he claims to have done and what he's done. He's admitted that he did it. The intelligence was...
But do we have any proof?
Well,
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has admitted a lot of things that he couldn't possibly have done.
Well, I think one of the things that the problem we have with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in what he's admitted to is that the only way you know how he was connected to those things is with information that the government has not released.
Mm-hmm.
When he made a claim for all of those attacks, he didn't claim that he commanded them. What he said was he was involved with them.
Michael Scheuer, I'm out of time. Thank you, sir. We'll talk again.
I look forward to it. Thank you kindly, Mr. Collins.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Potomac primaries. Big smiles for supporters of John McCain and Barack Obama.
He is not afraid to diverge from the popular opinion.
I like what he stands for. He brings a lot of energy to the party.
He's the right person at the right time. Refreshing, energetic.
Uncle Sam buys time for mortgage-strapped homeowners.
We've never argued that this will help everyone, or that it should.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. Polls are closing in Virginia now, and CBS News estimates that when all the votes are counted, Barack Obama will be the Democratic winner in Virginia. CBS News is not ready to estimate a winner in the Republican contest in Virginia. The polls in Maryland and in Washington, D.C. close in an hour. Exit polls put the economy as issue number one. Live now to Fairfax, Virginia, CBS's Peter Mayer.
Harley, the Clinton campaign is bracing for bad news. The prospect of an Obama sweep of all three of today's races. Exit polls show that by a wide margin, Virginia Democrats chose change, Obama's theme, over experience, Clinton's issue, by a wide margin. CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says the New York senator's campaign is at a crossroads.
And her job right now is to convince people she's still in this thing, which I think a year ago, who would have thought we'd be at that point?
Hillary Clinton is staking her campaign on early March primaries now in Ohio and Texas. Live in Fairfax, Virginia, Peter Mayer, CBS News.
I'm Barry Bagnato, live in Olney, Maryland. John McCain is the expected Republican winner here in Maryland and in Virginia and D.C. as well. These victories would give him two-thirds of the delegates he needs to claim the GOP nomination. In exit polls, more than half of Virginia Republicans complain he's not conservative enough, but that's apparently not a party buster. 75% say they'd be satisfied with him as the nominee. 8 in 10 Democrats in Virginia and here in Maryland say they're ready to elect a black or a woman president. Harley?
That's Barry Bagnato. Now this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with 49-cent color copies to make sure your work stands out. Only at Office Depot will Xerox-certified print specialists bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, flyers, and more. So hurry into Office Depot today and get your business noticed. Office Depot, taking care of business with 49-cent color copies. Valid for letter and legal-size single-sided copies on up to 28-pound paper stock.
Ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Healthy dogs don't stink. Healthy dogs eat Dynavite.
The omega-3 fatty acids, the enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
859-428-1000.
Yes, Dynavite. Tons of energy, no more bad smells. DINOVITE.com.
Project Lifeline won't help everyone in trouble with their mortgage, but it is good news for those on the bubble. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson says the arrangements with institutes handling about half of the country's mortgages will give 30 days delay in mortgage foreclosure proceedings.
This is an important new initiative targeted to reach not only subprime borrowers, but all 90-day delinquent homeowners.
It buys time to find a better deal. If the phone company gives up information on a suspected terrorist communication, they can't be sued for it.
The Senate voted to bow to President Bush's demand and give phone companies retroactive immunity from lawsuits stemming from the years when they let the Bush administration tap phones and snoop into emails without warrants. The administration warned without it, the companies might not cooperate in the future, a position echoed by Missouri Republican Senator Kit Bond.
The bottom line is we just don't know what tomorrow will bring.
A temporary extension of the wiretap law expires Friday, but House leaders, whose own bill does not include immunity, say there's no way this can be worked out by then. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
President Bush, marking African American History Month, made his feelings clear today about the appearance of hangman's nooses in some places.
The era of rampant lynching is a shameful chapter in American history.
The noose, he said, a symbol of gross injustice. Playing bumper cars south of Fresno.
I try to warn him by tapping, but he just... boom.
After the boom, of course, come the ambulances. 10 people injured, 18 vehicles in the pile in the fog on Highway 99.
The paint truck that hit a car down here, all the paint came over and hit me, and I ran over it.
I kind of got off the on the side of the road, and in the front of my eyes, the big truck just hit the car, man.
Bad weather on the East Coast. We're told on the Beltway around Washington, 20 cars have piled up on icy streets. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury Parts and Service presents a word from your tires.
We, your tires, have a list of demands.
A list of demands?
Yes, we demand that you take us to a Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer.
Well, I always go to a Ford or Lincoln.
At once. No appointment is necessary.
All right.
We further demand that once at the Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer, Ford trained service experts inspect us, check our inflation, and rotate us.
Hey, don't Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealers have a tire price guarantee?
Possibly.
Sure, they'll beat anyone's price on the name brand tires they sell, right?
Look, never mind that.
So, if I need to replace you...
Whoa, replace?
I could do it right there at a great price. Excellent. Okay, back to your demands.
Well, it was really more of a suggestion than a demand.
Thought so.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service, only at your dealership. Come in, keep going. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see a participating dealership for details through 12/31/08.
General Motors is...
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Investigative reporter Jason Leopold returns coming up in about half an hour. We'll talk about the battle over missing White House emails. And Melanie Sloan from Crew has an update on that coming up next hour, too. Crew has won a lawsuit against the White House over those missing emails. But this half hour, we observe, this is a day of infamy. By a vote of 67-31, with 19 Democrats colluding, the United States Senate rejected an amendment that would remove amnesty, or what they call immunity, for the telephone companies that collaborated with the Bush administration in its violation of the FISA law, your constitutional right to privacy, and your Fourth Amendment right to probable cause before search or seizure. And this is something that's been brewing for a while. We've been talking about it almost daily. And yet I am disappointed and still a little bit stunned that so many Democrats would join in and essentially seal the coffin. More than 40 lawsuits have been filed trying to determine the extent of the monitoring program, intercepting telephone calls, emails, and other transmissions. And with this action by the United States Senate, I view it as highly unlikely that we will ever know the dimensions of the law-breaking and the violations of the constitutional oaths of office of Bush and Cheney. We get commentary from Caroline Fredrickson. She is the director of the American Civil Liberties Union's Washington Legislative Office, top lobbyist for Our Civil Liberties, runs a 50-person staff, and also works to bring on board some of the conservative constitutionalists. Caroline, welcome to the program today.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be with you.
Well, I really appreciate your advocacy. I've seen you quoted many times in the byplay over the FISA reform or whatever one cares to call it. Anthony Romero, your executive director, was on our program a couple of weeks ago. And I really commend the ACLU because you've been conducting the fight that, squeamish Democrats, for the most part, have been unwilling to engage in.
Well, thank you very much. And, I think it's been necessary for the ACLU and for all the people who have worked with us, including a lot of people from the Bay Area, to put pressure on Congress. It's really unfortunate that so many members of Congress flinch whenever the president starts to say the words soft on terrorism, if they curl up into a ball and give in.
Well, and this is not an issue about terrorism, because the FISA law was one of the most loosely written pro-government spying regulations that we have ever seen. It was intended really to prevent the most egregious of abuses. And yet, even with its laxity and its secrecy and the high rate of approvals that it has granted to requests over the years for wiretaps and other surveillance programs, this administration simply thumbed its nose at the existing law and said, we can get away with this because we assert presidential power, we assert that this is wartime, and besides, we're making the American people safer.
That's so true. It's so true. And I just say that one of the really sad things about the Senate's vote today is they're voting themselves into obsolescence, because what they've done is they've approved the president's assertion of his unlimited power to listen in on all of our phone calls and read our emails without a warrant, without court oversight, without any congressional involvement. And they just now put their rubber stamp on that and said, yes, that's right, we're a meaningless body and all the power resides in the presidency.
Yeah. And to allow the argument to be framed as one of keeping us safe and preventing attacks on the American people is just absurd. And Caroline, let me just ask you to recite for us what the president and vice president say in their oath of office. They don't say that they're going to defend and keep safe the American people. They're going to protect and preserve and defend the Constitution of the United States. And
that's right. Well, it's unfortunate, but it's clear. I mean, I think we all know that from so many circumstances that you really can't take this president or vice president at their word. But I think some of the points that you made were very clear and important, and people who are listening should be aware. FISA is something that we had a great deal of criticism for before the warrantless wiretapping program was unearthed by some very good journalists. It is a system which is a secret court. Only one side gets to be in there, and that's the government.
Mm-hmm.
The court has granted, in the 30 years that it has been in existence, it's granted almost every single warrant application that has ever been put in front of it. And there's an emergency provision in FISA that says to the government, hey, if you really need to go wiretap now without a warrant, go ahead, get started, and come back to the court afterwards. All of these things were built into the law to protect our civil liberties, but more importantly, to facilitate surveillance. With that amount of laxity in the system, with that much ability to get warrants whenever they went to the court and asked for them, this administration wants to assert that even that minimal amount of oversight somehow treads on the president's inherent authority to be the king,
mm-hmm.
and that Congress is a meaningless body.
Caroline Fredrickson with us from the ACLU in Washington. If you have a comment, give us a call. Your call is subject to monitoring by the National Security Agency. They're looking for keywords, like Osama or terror or Bush. And you should...
Democrat, I don't know.
Yeah, you just should be aware of that. 888-5, Peter B. is our number, 888-573-8372. So, Caroline, if you can help me out, I have not been able to monitor the debate in the Senate hour by hour. What happened to Chris Dodd's threat of a filibuster?
Well, you know, the filibuster is kind of a, how should we say, it's something that doesn't really exist anymore. You know, it's essentially what happens is that, you know, if you object to going forward as the leader wants to go forward, then they file a motion called a cloture motion, and then there's a vote on that motion, and that's what brings an end to the filibuster. So it's sort of a routine matter.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Dodd objected to moving forward. Harry Reid filed a cloture motion last week. It takes 3 days to ripen. So, it's sort of happened in the dark of night and then over the weekend. It's not a real thing. It's not a live thing anymore. It's a way of making slowing things down a bit. I mean, I think Senator Dodd did a great job. He derailed this whole thing in December because of the press of the holidays, which obviously are more important than our Constitution to some members of Congress.
Yeah.
He did what he could. You know, here we are. We're in February. At least we had 2 more months of a national discussion about where these issues take us. I think the really unfortunate thing is that our Congress is so out of step with the people. Our polling shows, all sorts of reporting shows that the American people both reject warrantless wiretapping. They think the president should be subject to the law, just like every man and woman on the street. And they don't think there should be this huge giveaway to the telecom companies that was rolled up in this package. The Christmas present that they were hoping to get in December. Well, now it's a Groundhog's Day present instead.
Well, and it's called immunity, but I think the more accurate term is amnesty, because this is backdated. This is a form of immunity that goes back, we know, to the time prior to 9/11, because Quest, Nacho, the CEO who is now behind bars on what may be a politically trumped-up insider trading case, he's the one who went public and said, well, you know, they wanted me to start tapping in February or March of 2001. And, Caroline, even to this day, corporate media reporters routinely say that the domestic surveillance program began after 9/11. And this is one of those issues that will not be aired out, because between the administration's assertion of the state secret privilege, the court's deference to it, and now the inability to sue the telephone companies to expose the breadth and depth of this surveillance program, we will probably never know.
That's so right. And the administration is pursuing the reporters who dared to actually report the truth about the illegal activity of this administration. So they're getting subpoenas. And they're going after those great New York Times reporters, James Rise and Eric Lischblau, who broke the story to start with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people are vicious. It's the trifecta, you know. First they take out the court system. They're going to take out Congress, and no more free press. And what are we left with? What are we doing in Iraq trying to create a democracy? I think we should start here at home, because what we have is clearly falling apart.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. So, Caroline, lest I leave people totally depressed and cynical before we go to a break, is there any hope that in conference that the better version, the House version, will prevail? Or have we crossed the line now into this amnesty language and the House essentially will be forced to adopt some version of the Senate language?
Well, let me just start by saying, number one, I think people should be pretty proud in the Bay Area that both your senators voted no on final passage. Now, Senator Feinstein wasn't in the right place on some of the amendments along the way.
Well, she voted against the critical amendment on immunity. Yes, she did.
So she deserves some criticism there, but she voted against the bill on final passage, recognizing, even she recognized, it went too far in stripping our basic privacy protections.
Well, Caroline, I'm sorry. I have to disagree with you, because I watched Senator Feinstein very carefully. She has been trying to paper over this lawbreaking for the longest time, even before she knew, under the briefings that she's been given over the last year or so, somewhat the dimensions of the program. And she was the one who had this mealy-mouthed amendment that failed, that would have sent it to the FISA court to decide.
No disagreements with you on the general point. I think she does need a little bone thrown her way for voting no on final passage, because, honestly, there weren't that many of them who took that step. So I agree with you. She hasn't been as strong as she could have been by far. But I think the fact that she was stood among the minority in the Senate who voted no should give her a little bit of credit. But to sort of go back to the sort of what where there's hope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got C-SPAN on right now. I see Nancy Pelosi on the screen. You know, it's certainly not a foregone conclusion that the House is just going to roll over. But a lot of that depends on people actually expressing their anger over the Senate vote. And we've been working really hard at the ACLU, along with a lot of our colleagues and other advocacy groups, and along with our allies on the Hill, like Senator Feingold and Senator Dodd, to put the burden on the House now and say, you know, you passed an okay bill, not a great bill, not a good bill even, but a much less bad bill, I should say, than what the Senate passed. But it didn't have immunity either. And we've been pushing them, pushing Nancy Pelosi to stand strong. She said she was going to fix the Protect America Act. She railed against it when it passed in August.
Right.
Now she needs to make good. There's no reason that they actually have to pass anything at all. And if they don't like the Senate bill, they should just forget about it.
All right, we got to take a break, and we'll pick up there as we continue. Caroline Fredrickson from the Washington office of the ACLU is with us. The Senate did pass legislation immunizing the telephone companies under this reformed FISA law. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, Ms. Fredrickson with us for another segment. 888-573-8372. More straight ahead on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
Well, good afternoon. Checking traffic on KRXA, and we'll start things off at Santa Cruz, southbound Highway 1 at 17. It's a broken-down van that's tying up the left-hand lane. Heads up on the Pacheco Pass, eastbound 152 at Casa de Fruta. Tire, that's blocking the right-hand lane. San Juan Batista, Cyril Road at Anzar Road. A baby cow is strolling in the lanes. For Soquel, Mapplethorpe Lane at Soquel Drive. Getting reports of a pickup truck with a couple of flat tires. That's partially blocking the roadway. It's apparently been abandoned out there a couple of days. So CHP's out there. They're waiting for a tow truck to arrive. Los Gatos area, actually in the Santa Cruz Mountains foothills, northbound 17, the ramp over to eastbound 9. A two-car fender bender, that's off to the right-hand shoulder. Also northbound 9 from Middle Road out to Western Avenue and Ben Lomond. The left lane shut down for road work. Echoes on until the 29th, so be prepared for delays there. This traffic report is brought to you by Jack in the Box. Come try Jack's new sirloin steak melt. Hot and hearty sirloin strips topped with grilled onions and melting cheese on grilled sourdough bread. Only at Jack in the Box. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's time for more on the Peter B. Collins Show, and just an admission of miscalculation. It was 18 Democratic senators who voted to drop the amendment that would have repealed the immunity for the phone companies. Not 19, as I stated. And in our next segment, we will name names. We will tell you those 18 Democrats who voted, in my opinion, the wrong way on an issue that may be very difficult to fix in the future. We continue with Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU's Washington office, top lobbyist for our civil rights. And, Caroline, let's go back a little bit to what Nancy Pelosi can do. Because, you know, my experience is that in conference committees, there is a little extra deference given to the United States Senate, and often the House comes up on the losing end. How could she manage the conference in a way that preserves what is the less bad bill, the House version?
Well, I mean, there are a couple things to start with, and one is that there is no need for anything to pass. And I think she needs to stand strong and realize that her leverage is there. That if they really want to make some changes to FISA, they need the House, right? She doesn't have to put, she's in charge of the floor schedule. She's in charge of what actually goes through the House. But, you know, there's no reason that they need to complete this on the president's timeline. So, for example, this Protect America Act, this terrible bill, really terrible bill that passed in August, is expiring at Friday at midnight. But so what? You know, as I was saying before your break, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act still exists. It still allows for quite a bit of surveillance to go on. It still has this emergency provision that allows them to wiretap even without a warrant. The orders, and I don't know if your listeners know this, but the orders for surveillance that are basically data mining, very broad-based, they're not warrants in any fashion at all, they go on for up to a year after they've been issued under this Protect America Act, again, with no court oversight at all. All that's going to continue on. So the idea that somehow that President Bush is trying to create this idea that we are in great danger if Congress doesn't immediately pass the version that he wants to pass of this intelligence bill. And I think the House just needs to reject that. And
But Bush is very good at creating the phony crisis, and the crisis is either that we're about to be attacked or Congress is about to go on vacation. And we don't have a vacation imminent, so...
They do. He's very clever that way. There's one next week.
That's right. President's holiday break.
But again, I don't think the American people thinks this is a crisis. It's just some members of Congress. And I think it's really unfortunate. We've done polling. We did two extensive polls, both in the fall and just recently in January, to update it, to show Congress, guess what, the American people rejects warrantless wiretapping and the American people rejects immunity for the telecom companies. Very strong numbers. This is all up on our website at www.aclu.org for anybody who's interested. But people get a giveaway to some companies that they really don't like, you know, in their everyday life. And when they see them getting special gifts from the government, from this president, for their having done illegal activities, people get that, and that registered very strongly in our polls. I don't know why the members of Congress are so far behind the American public.
No, that's a good point. Ruth and Carlotta has a question. Go ahead, Ruth. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Peter. I'm sorry, and this may be badly timed, but you were talking with your guest about Senator Feinstein, and I had understood this morning that she had voted against this amendment, and I called and gave him a piece of my mind for her her vote, and now I'm thinking that maybe if she voted, I'm really unclear about what she voted for.
Caroline, clarify for us. What she voted against the overall bill after voting against the crucial amendment that would have fixed it.
There were several amendments, but the one that was most critical in this regard was the amendment offered by Senator Dodd and Senator Feingold, who've been real champions on this issue, to strip out the terrible provision giving immunity, or amnesty, as you correctly call it, to these telephone companies that broke the law. Senator Feinstein voted against that very important amendment. She really deserves to be criticized for that, and you did the right thing by calling in.
Okay.
She made it up a bit at the end of the day by voting against the whole thing, which includes immunity, obviously. So, you know, it's, you know, she's a bit of a hard one to figure out sometimes.
Yeah, let's just take the Mukasey confirmation as our final example. Caroline, thank you very much for your work. Thanks for talking with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
ACLU.org. Read more about it. Jason Leopold joins me next. Stay tuned.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You must believe. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. First, let me say right off the top, the anti-recession checks are coming.
I think these checks will be in people's hands by May.
By May, up to $600 each to be used to save your country. Not that we're in a recession.
I think the experts will tell you we're not in a recession.
No, because the experts will also tell you that if people believe a recession is underway, they could cut their spending plans and create, you know, a recession. And that's a real concern because yet another survey has come out showing that people do believe a recession is underway. 61% now believe it because they've seen the value of their homes drop, and that makes them unwilling to shop to the extent that patriotism would dictate. So the checks are not just to give people money to spend, but to get us all to believe that because all this money is going out, there won't be a recession, so that even people who don't get the checks will spend more, thereby preventing the recession they believed was going to happen. It's all a matter of mindset. If we can just pull together and get ourselves to believe that there's not going to be a recession, there won't be one. If we just tell ourselves over and over there's not going to be a recession, that there are people smarter than we are who know what to do. I am a river, a flowing river of purchasing power. My home will increase in value. Wall Street is going to be fine. The surge is working. Climate change is our friend. Now that the writer's strike is over, TV's worth watching again. One more week of hot yoga and those 10 pounds will be gone. Well, it works for me.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim Moore Income Tax in Watsonville has been helping Monterey Bay Area residents with personal income tax preparation for more than 20 years. And this year, Manager Juan Gonzalez is prepared to assist all taxpayers take advantage of tax credits and rebates, especially targeted for the eco-minded. The staff of Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in fast, professional income tax preparation at a very reasonable price. Do you have a naughty tax problem? Let Juan Gonzalez and his staff provide the expert assistance you need. Jim Moore Income Tax is located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just two blocks from the Central Plaza. This year, let Juan Gonzalez show you where the green is for green living taxpayers. Visit Jim Moore Income Tax at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville. Be sure to take copies of your 2006 tax return and all of your 2007 W-2s and 1099s. Remember Jim Moore Income Tax for all of your tax preparation needs.
Oh,
At Homescapes Carmel, it's important to us that we appeal to both the senses and the sensibilities of our customers. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I invite you to explore, touch, and discover all the unique items we have at Homescapes in downtown Carmel. For importers like us, nothing beats finding eclectic and worldly things in their native lands and then bringing them home to Carmel by the sea. Homescapes Carmel is on the corner of 7th and Dolores, and as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll share in the thrill of discovery. We have a wide range of furnishings and accessories that exemplify wabi-sabi, celebrating the beauty, functionality, and morality of living green. At Homescapes Carmel, we're dedicated to our customers, to our employees, and to our community. We look forward to working with you to make your home the perfect blend of comfort, beauty, and individuality. Please stop by Homescapes Carmel on 7th and Dolores. We are open 7 days a week from 10 to 6. You can call us at 831-624-6499 or check us out at homescapescarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
I'm mad at the Senate, but I do not advocate burning down Pelosi's house. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Investigative reporter Jason Leopold joins us this half hour. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
Hey, Peter, how are you? Good to be with you.
Well, I'm a little bummed today. We just finished a segment with Caroline Fredrickson from the ACLU about this Senate vote on they call it the Protect America Act, but I consider it to be an invasion now approved by the Congress of our rights of privacy, our Fourth Amendment right to a probable cause before a search or seizure is engaged in. And what Caroline told us is that we are down to the firmness of Nancy Pelosi. And as somebody who's known her for a long time and roots for her, I have to say that I don't have much confidence that she's going to show the spine to essentially pocket this piece of legislation and say, I will not permit it to go to the conference committee.
Sure, and I think that, you know, the fact of the past, 4 to 6 weeks that we've seen Pat Leahy and various other senators sort of give lip service to what was coming their way, but yet really not take the action necessary, to fight this, I would imagine that by the time, it does get to the House, that you can rest assured that it's going to go through.
Well, and once again, we see these obvious techniques used by Bush, and on the one hand, it drives me bonkers, and on the other hand, I have to begrudgingly give them credit.
Right.
They know how to jam stuff through the Congress by jamming legislation up against deadlines for breaks, for vacations,
right,
and time off. And they continue to intimidate and browbeat the members of Congress into saying, you can't leave until you put our legislation through.
Right.
And the Democrats keep doing it.
And they keep doing it continuously. And it makes me wonder, what do the Democrats, do they truly, not support, or are they just basically giving us lip service? And I think that, Rockefeller is somebody that's so difficult to read, because it's really difficult to understand why it is that he, supports this immunity, when senators like Russ Feingold don't.
Well, and you can look at Rockefeller's fundraising. He has received money from telecom
interests.
But come on, he's got one of the safest seats in the Senate, and he's a Rockefeller.
Right.
He doesn't need campaign cash to direct his votes.
Yeah.
And well, and so, you know, Jason, I may have told you about this, but when I was in Washington, 3 weeks ago,
right.
I got this interview with Tom Daschle. We're at a healthcare conference, so mostly I'm supposed to talk about that. But I couldn't resist, and I asked him, I said, you know, what about your colleagues in the Senate and this immunity for the telecoms? And his position is that he supported it. And he made it seem like the telecommunications companies are victims of the wayward Bush administration.
Right.
Well, to an extent, they are. And on that basis, nobody asked me to negotiate this, Jason, but had they, I would say, well, look, let's put a limit on money damages in these kinds of lawsuits against the phone companies, because I'm most interested in getting information, not in getting money. I want to know how many people were spied upon, how many calls were intercepted, and I also want to know if anything happened in a positive way because of this.
Right.
You know, they're allowed to make these murky claims. Well, we're keeping the American people safe. We've busted up a number of plots. I can't tell you about them. Well, that is an assertion you can make and then hide behind secrecy and national security.
Sure. And I think the fact that this debate has been going on for, you know, nearly a year with the telecommunication companies, it's pretty obvious that they violated the law. I think that Pat Leahy today actually gave this real passionate speech about this immunity for the telecommunications companies and why it really does show that, you know, they did break the law. Unfortunately, you know, Pat Leahy is a little late with that speech. He could have given the same speech about a month ago, if not sooner, prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing, though, however, is that you know, John Conyers, early this afternoon, did write a letter to Fred Fielding over at the White House saying that they still want to see some evidence and some more documents related to the warrantless, you know, surveillance. And he sort of indicated in the letter that he and his colleagues are not going to support the stand alongside with the Senate, certainly Senate Democrats, in backing this bill. So I do think that it will face, you know, tough sledding, if you will, when it comes to the House. But again, I think that it would, you know, to put our confidence in somebody like Nancy Pelosi would be foolish, because we've been let down before.
Well, I mean, I'll put $5 on it that by the time they recess this Friday, that the House and Senate will have conferred and caved to the Senate version. I don't want to be right on that,
right.
But I simply don't see that there are enough Democrats willing to fight.
Yeah.
And on that note, Jason, indulge me for a moment here, because I'd like to read the names of the 18 senators who call themselves Democrats,
right,
who voted against the critical amendment. This was the Dodd-Feingold amendment that would have stripped the immunity provision for the phone companies out of the final bill. And here are the so-called Democrats who voted for that to kill that amendment. Evan Bayh of Indiana, Tom Carper of Delaware, Kent Conrad of North Dakota, Dianne Feinstein of California,
surprise,
Dan Inouye of Hawaii, Tim Johnson of South Dakota, and this is one of those days when I wish he hadn't recovered quite as quickly as he did from that stroke. Herb Kohl of Wisconsin. I don't understand that guy. And then here are the two girls who, well, forgive me, the two women. I don't wish to be sexist here, but I'm so frustrated by Mary Landrieu and Blanche Lincoln. On every critical issue of our civil liberties, they vote with the frickin' Republicans.
Right.
And I saw Blanche Lincoln speak in Washington when I was there. She's very charming and folksy and down home and, I'm sorry, she's limp when it comes to important issues. Here's another straddler, Claire McCaskill of Missouri. Now, she's a freshman senator. She's got another 4 years before she has to face the voters. And I realize Missouri is a conservative state, but they're not going to remember this 4 years from now. And I cannot conjure up a reason why she should have voted the way she did today.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to just put out there that If people really, if your listeners, you know, really want to dig deep into this story and, you know, check out your former producer, my colleague, Matt Renner,
mm-hmm.
Had a fantastic investigative piece where he documented how a think tank, a so-called progressive think tank, was, you know, not only connected, a think tank that is funded by telecommunications companies in which the board of directors have very strong ties to these, you know, phone companies, and how they're connected to some of the folks in the Senate who were backing this immunity provision.
You're right, and this is an article he posted at truthout.org on January 31st, and
yeah.
the think tank you're referring to is called Third Way.
Yeah.
It's funded and controlled by hedge fund managers, corporate lawyers, and business executives with ties to the telecommunications industry.
Yeah, it's a truly just a fantastic piece because, you know, I watch Matt just get this story and really just watch him follow it through. But what it represents is that, you know, Democrats are not immune, if you will, to influence by, you know, corporate lobbyists or just the, you know, the corporations in general. And certainly what he documented, Matt, is it would raises questions about the influence that's taking place and whether or not there's some quid pro quo going on.
Well, and let me lift two quick items here from his article, and I'm glad you brought it up. He lists the board members of this organization,
right.
think
right.
tank called Third Way. One is the son of the late Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, who is a partner in a law firm that has represented AT&T Wireless in its merger with Singular. Reynold Levy, or Levy, former senior officer of AT&T in charge of government relations. Bernard Schwartz spent 34 years as CEO and chairman of Loral Space and Communications. He's all mobbed up in the,
exactly.
the military-industrial telecommunications complex. Then Robert Katz, chairman of the board of IPCS.inc. That is a wireless communications company linked to Sprint. And the other is a guy who's with Warburg Pincus, a major private equity firm. And finally, what Matt points out in the article is that on a crucial bill related to this debate, five of the 12 Democratic senators who voted to kill the judiciary version
right.
of this bill
Bingo.
Are Evan Bayh, Tom Carper, Mark Pryor, Ken Salazar, and Claire McCaskill, and every last one of them is on this list today voting the wrong way
exactly.
on the immunity provision for the telecoms.
Exactly.
And I wanted
to bring up Matt's story particularly because, you know, not only did he just he did a fantastic job in bringing this to the public's attention, but, again, demonstrating that there is a quid pro quo likely taking place here and that, you know, what we have come to hope that that the Democrats would, you know, represent our interests, represent what their constituents want, just they're not following through.
Yeah. Let me complete the list of the 18 Democrats who voted the wrong way today. The two Nelsons, they're not brothers, but Ben Nelson from Nebraska and what's the other one?
They're not the 80s group Nelson.
Right. From Florida. His name escapes me at the moment. Pryor of Arkansas, who we just mentioned on the Third Way list. Also Salazar of
right.
Colorado is there. Jay Rockefeller, not a surprise. Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, again, I can only scratch my head and say, why, Senator? Why?
Right.
And then Jim Webb of Virginia. Now, he has some conservative blood in his body. He's a former Republican.
Yeah.
But, he's in a very safe situation there. He's not up for re-election
yeah.
for four and a half years. And why he would vote with the Republicans on this is just beyond me.
Well, that's really the the thing that we really should zero in on and you know, pay close attention to is that we really haven't understood to this point, and we haven't gotten a very good, clear answer from the Democrats as to why they believe these, you know, companies deserve the immunity. They certainly have not verbalized it in a way that's convincing. And so, again, we're left with why are they voting this way? Mm-hmm. What are they doing? And you know, when you see the White House's position, the Bush administration's position on, you know, this we must provide them with immunity. It's just they're just doing their dirty work.
Indeed they are. We're going to take a break and return with Jason Leopold. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You can always email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and just one accident out there. It's actually in Los Gatos as you come out of the Santa Cruz Mountains. Northbound 17 ramp over to eastbound Highway 9. Two cars there. They're both off to the side. CHP is on the scene now taking a report. Soquel City Streets, Mapplethorpe Lane at Soquel Drive. A broken down pickup truck. It's actually abandoned with a couple of flat tires. CHP is there now and looks like a tow truck still on the way. Some road construction. Ben Lomond, northbound Highway 9 from Middle Road out to Western Avenue. The left lane shut down for what they're calling roadway rehabilitation.
Birthday or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Allen Show. Coming up next hour, the Free Speed Zone. Aldous Tyler's going to check in from nonstopradio.com. And we're working on saving another progressive talk radio station, and it happens to be one of the stations that you hear this program on. So we'll talk about that with Aldous coming up, just about 10, 12 minutes away. Ari Melber continues with us from The Nation and TheNation.com. So, Ari, coming back to this debate over modernizing the FISA law and granting amnesty to the phone companies that collaborated with the law-breaking of the Bush administration, where does it currently stand, and who should my listeners be lobbying to try to support a filibuster or, at minimum, block Jay Rockefeller and Harry Reid from granting the immunity that is proposed by the Bush administration?
Well, I think, you know, we do have a vote that is scheduled for the Senate tomorrow, so you can definitely reach out to your senators, you know, in California and let them know that you want the whole thing stopped and that immunity is a no-go.
Well, for us, Feinstein is a real problem. She has been trying to legitimize and legalize these illegal actions even before she was fully briefed on the extent of the programs.
That's right. And today, as she was on the floor speaking about this for a while, and she sounded very passionate. And if you didn't know the issue, you might think that she was actually fighting the Bush administration. That is not the case. Her amendments I've largely been assistant to basically finding ways to make this seem more palatable. One of them, for example, would move things around and transfer these cases to a special court for secret review. That is not what the plaintiffs in these cases are asking for. The Electronic Frontier Foundation out of California and the Center for Constitutional Rights out of New York that have plaintiffs who they say have been illegally spied upon do not want their cases moved around further. They've been in the courts already for years. They just want justice in a day in court, and this is a classic conservative situation, if you will, where as long as the Congress stays out of it and just does nothing, then those cases will proceed in the courts and we'll see what happens. We'll see if justice is done. But to come in and say, oh, as one of her amendments would, we're going to move this to a special court and yeah. and that's a good thing, you know, I think that is disingenuous.
Yeah, she wants to take it there to be buried, not to honor the rights of those whose constitutional rights have probably been violated, sometimes on a very widespread basis. Now, go ahead.
I would just stress, though, you know, the real fight is going to be in the House. The House has stood up with enough progressive Democrats who said no to amnesty, and they continue to say they're going to fight on that. And so that's a very important place where even members who voted the right way should hear again that this is something that their constituents care about in stopping amnesty in the conference negotiations, which start this week as well.
Well, but if the Senate passes a bad bill that includes amnesty, how will that be reconciled in the conference committee? Won't the House have to defer?
No, they don't have to at all.
I'm talking practical considerations here, because in the face of a presidential veto, the House margin was not veto-proof, and I don't expect the Senate margin to be.
No, but at a minimum, Peter, if the House held strong, they could send the bill up to the president. As I mentioned, you know, before the break, he had a veto going on another issue earlier, and then he backed down.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have got to send up, I think, a bill without amnesty that maintains accountability for potential lawbreaking, keeps these issues separate, which they are, and we'll take it from there one day at a time.
Yeah.
I don't think, unfortunately, we've already had enough votes on the Senate side to see that while a filibuster would be good to continue to spotlight the issue, to gin up awareness, the votes already suggest that this is not going to make it through. That's why if you mm-hmm. listen to the ACLU and these folks are saying this week they're putting all their hope on the House stand up and hold strong, because the Senate's basically a lost cause.
Wow, that's disappointing, but realistic. I understand that. For me, the bottom line, Ari, is that I want to know the extent of the law breaking, and we can't rely on the government to release that. Bush will tie it all up with, and even a successor probably, with the state secret privilege. And the only way to get this out into the open daylight of a federal courtroom is to block the amnesty provision, because if the phone companies are protected, we will never know what they did to us.
That's right. And, you know, Jack Balkin, who's a Yale law professor and a wonderful commentator and analyst on these issues, writes a blog called Balkanization, if anyone wants to check it out, has explained in meticulous detail that you cannot understand this fight if you don't understand the secrecy. And the entire issue around amnesty is secrecy. That's why
right.
you have the Bush administration working overtime for something that, in theory, is not their fight. In theory, these are suits against private companies that, at worst, would have to pay a lot of money and be damaged. But ultimately, we're not talking about, in a civil suit, we're not talking about people going to jail or the kind of panic that ensued when, you know, Scooter Libby might actually have to be responsible for the crimes that he committed. We're talking about civil suits.
Mm-hmm.
But when you understand the secrecy and the Cheney White House, they cannot stomach the idea that one of these cases might actually go all the way with full discovery and expose the extent of lawbreaking. That, according at least to Professor Balkin, is what this really boils down to. And when you see it like that, you understand why this is so vital that the House stand up and stop amnesty.
Well, and at minimum, I want to find out why the administration started putting the squeeze on these phone companies in February and March of 2001. The corporate media often inaccurately portrays it as a response to 9/11, but the surveillance program was launched before 9/11, and even our members of Congress seem to be forgetful when it comes to raising that point.
Oh, absolutely. You know, we can go back further. I mean, the Church Committee that did the important investigations that led to some of this legislation in the first place found patterns of surveillance abuse in both administrations, the misuse of surveillance on political opponents, the kind of things that we so vociferously criticize when they arise in other countries. And yet somehow we have some sort of collective amnesia about how this works here. And frankly, I don't think, as we've discussed, that anyone should see this as a Bush-era issue. These powers, when expanded and cloaked in secrecy, can be abused by any president. And so it's pre-9/11, it's pre-Bush, it's post-Bush. That's why these are so important, and we can't expect it to somehow get better just naturally, even if Republicans do lose the White House.
Ari Melber, read him at thenation.com. Thanks, Ari. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks to you, and thanks to your listeners.
You bet. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers. Mm-hmm. How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE, toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. They'll be tried before U.S. military commissions at Guantanamo Bay, and the Pentagon announced today it will seek the death penalty for six al-Qaeda figures charged in the 9/11 conspiracy.
The government has filed charges against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and five other captives held in Guantanamo, alleging
the planning and execution of the attacks upon the United States of America, which occurred on September the 11th, 2001.
Brigadier General Thomas Hartman of DOD's Office of Military Commissions says there's a long list of alleged crimes, including
murder in violation of the law of war, attacking civilians, terrorism.
These are the first charges from the Guantanamo War Court potentially involving the death penalty. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The Pentagon says it will make the trials as open as possible, but CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen says we shouldn't expect them to be like civilian trials.
This is going to happen sort of in a vacuum. There's going to be very few press reports about it. Whatever reports do come out are going to be maybe a day old or so, or hours old. That's going to diminish the political impact the trials are going to have. I think in some way it's going to diminish the historical impact that the trials are going to have if and when they begin.
In separate, unrelated cases, a Defense Department analyst and a former engineer for Boeing are charged with giving U.S. military secrets to China. Kenneth Weinstein is Assistant U.S. Attorney for National Security.
While the collapse of the Soviet Union ended the Cold War, it did not end the threat from foreign intelligence services. If anything, that threat has only increased with the rise of non-aligned nations that are all seeking advantage in the process of military development.
He says China is among the most aggressive. For homeowners in over their heads, help is on the way. Reportedly, the government will announce tomorrow that six major lenders have agreed to expand their efforts to help borrowers, allowing them to suspend foreclosure for 30 days while they work out new loans. After an eight-hour spacewalk by two Atlantis astronauts, French crewman Leopold Ehartz relayed the good news to Mission Control.
The European Columbus Laboratory module is now part of the ISS.
Beautiful work.
Installing the $2 billion science lab at the International Space Station was the major task of the Atlantis mission. Don't throw your BlackBerry away. If it hasn't been working today, it's because of intermittent data service disruptions. Research in Motion says it's working on the problem. But for people who call them crackberries, CBS News technology consultant Larry Magid says this can be very frustrating.
BlackBerries are very popular among people in the media business, in government, and large corporations. So this impact will be felt in Washington, Hollywood, and New York, and everywhere else that movers and shakers use BlackBerries to keep in touch.
Another boost for Sony and its Blu-ray format for high-definition DVDs. Four major movie studios have chosen Blu-ray over Toshiba's rival format, and now Netflix, the movie rental service, says it's switching to Blu-ray exclusively. The Dow up 57 points to 12,240. This is CBS News.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Mr. Blue Light here with Greg. And what, sir, are you getting your girlfriend for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, she said not to get her anything, so I'm not.
What she meant by that is that she wants you to surprise her with something from the heart.
This Valentine's Day, Kmart's Best of Blue has a beautiful half-carat diamond pendant for $99.99 that comes with a free box of Russell Stover chocolates.
Make this Valentine's Day sweet at Kmart.
Valid in Continental U.S. only. While supplies last, assortment may vary by store. No rain check. Sale ends 2/14/08. Diamond carat weights never more than 0.05 low stated weight.
In the end, all any of us have is our good name. So at Mercedes-Benz, we don't put our name on just anything. Every certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz comes with a 155-point inspection, roadside assistance, a one-year warranty up to 100,000 miles, and the one thing no other pre-owned vehicle can offer: our good name. Mercedes-Benz. Stop by your local authorized dealer and ask about our certified pre-owned program.
See dealer for complete details on warranty and roadside assistance. Abbreviated inspection applicable to vehicles less than 15 months old with less than 18,000 miles.
A popular line of SUVs is under government investigation because of unexplained engine fires. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert has details from Detroit.
This involves two fires in 423,000 vehicles, all of them 2007 GMC Yukons or Chevy Tahoes. GM spokesman Alan Adler says they're cooperating with federal investigators but haven't found any pattern yet.
Both our own processes up front in terms of quality processes and then the field performance of these vehicles has been very, very good.
The two fires both happened while the vehicles were parked in garages and did extensive property damages. If a pattern is found, it could lead to a recall. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
A driver in Germany couldn't have picked a better time or place to lose control of his car. It went into a ditch across the road from a gym where 10 bodybuilders were training. They ran outside and in minutes lifted the car out. The driver bought them a round of energy drinks. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Mr. Blue Light here with Greg. And what, sir, are you getting your girlfriend for Valentine's Day?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah, she said not to get her anything, so I'm not.
What she meant by that is that she wants you to surprise her with something from the heart.
This Valentine's Day, Kmart's Best of Blue has a beautiful half-carat diamond pendant for $99.99 that comes with a free box of Russell Stover chocolates.
Make this Valentine's Day sweet at Kmart.
Valid in Continental U.S. only. While supplies last, assortment may vary by store. No rain check. Sale ends 2/14/08. Diamond carat weights never more than 0.05 low stated weight.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Don't let your message get lost in the crowd. Office Depot takes care of that with 49-cent color copies to make sure your work stands out. Only at Office Depot will Xerox certified print specialists bring the proven power of color to your message in presentations, brochures, flyers, and more. So hurry into Office Depot today and get your business noticed. Office Depot, taking care of business with 49-cent color copies. Valid for letter and legal size single-sided copies on up to 28-pound paper stock.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course, it's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
In Peter B.'s America, there are not enough progressive talk radio stations. And the ones we have need your help to survive and sustain. Last week I received a notice from one of our great affiliate radio stations, KSAC in Sacramento. Owner-manager Paula Nelson notified me that unless fortunes improve, the station will have to change format in order to survive financially. And if that happens, it would occur in early May. Now, first and foremost, I want to tell you that we're talking about KSAC in Sacramento. So do not be confused. What we're describing does not apply to our other great radio stations. But they face similar challenges in a difficult business setting. You may know that conservative talk radio dominates the AM dial in this country by a factor of 9-1. And if you hit that seek or scan button on your fancy car radio, you can slide up and down the dial and get a dose of it and really confirm that for yourself. And hate mongers like Michael Savage are on hundreds of stations across the country, while the leading progressive talk show programs have a station count ranging from 80 to 100. And we are outgunned, and in so many respects, the revenues, the lion's share of advertising revenues for talk radio, go to the conservative side. Oh, and there's a double standard. Corporate advertisers don't consider conservative talk radio to be that controversial. But there's a list of almost 100 corporate advertisers who have blacklisted Air America and progressive talk shows like this from receiving their advertising dollars. So the situation is very serious. And on Friday, I posted an item at my website, peterbcollins.com, and asked you to take a look at it over the weekend. And based on the number of emails and phone calls I've gotten, a lot of you did your homework, and I'm grateful for that. So if you did, you know the baseline situation. That the solution here is that we need to bring more advertisers, and new advertising dollars to support progressive talk radio, and in particular, to support 1240 KSAC in Sacramento. And I've had a couple of conversations with Paula Nelson, the owner-manager of KSAC. One thing you should understand is that she does not want to change format. She was the first to put progressive talk on the air in Sacramento several years ago. And then she got clobbered because another company came in and stole some of the prime Air America programming that was on KSAC. That was a major setback for the station, and Paula persevered, and she survived as that competitor changed format, pulled out, they blinked. And the bottom line today is that KSAC, and take your humble host out of the equation for a moment, if you will, it has good programming, it has solid ratings, and what it needs is more revenue. And we are turning to you, asking for your help to patronize the existing sponsors and to help us locate additional advertisers, businesses, entities that can support KSAC in Sacramento. And I want to quote something that Paula said to me on the phone the other day. She said, I'm not throwing a pity party. She said, I don't want people sending me donations. She said, I want this to work as a business. And Paula's a veteran broadcaster. She has run successful radio stations. And so I'm turning to you, particularly those who are listening in the Sacramento area right now. My lines are open, and I'd like to hear your ideas. I'd like to hear any advertisers or potential advertisers who you think belong on my program and on KSAC in Sacramento. I'd like you to just blurt it out on the air. Hey, there's a coffee shop on Greenback Road, and I know the owner, and I'm going to go talk to him. Anything like that would be extremely helpful at this critical time. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And I've got some reinforcements here. My buddy Aldous Tyler helped save the mic, Progressive Talk FM station in his hometown of Madison, Wisconsin. And he has answered the call numerous times from Columbus, Ohio, to most recently the battle for KLSD in San Diego, California. And all this has impressed me because he has some very positive ideas for how listeners like you can get active, get involved, and help make a difference, help talk radio of the kind that you like survive, prosper, and become sustainable long into the future. Aldous is the guy who started Nonstop Radio, and they're on the web at nonstopradio.com. Hello again, Aldous.
Hello, Peter. Good evening.
Thanks for responding to us in our hour of need.
Well, you know, it's one of these things, Peter. Let me make sure to paint for the audience a distinct difference between what's going on with KSAC and, for example, what happened in KLSD and other places. Many times when a station decides it's going to change format, maybe they even claim financial reasons, but they don't reach out and say, look, this is why, this is how we fix it. And KSAC is doing the right thing. So the last thing I want anybody here to do who's listening to us right now, Peter, is to harass KSAC saying keep the format. That's not going to help right now. That's not what we're looking at. We're not looking at entrenched management who want to change the format. We're looking at management who want to save it and need your help to do so.
Precisely.
So that, I mean, that's a distinct difference right off the bat. The best thing that you can do, first of all, if you are in charge of advertising for a business or an organization, you need to contact KSAC immediately or contact Peter, either way. Even if you've never considered adding radio to your promotional strategy, we can show you how it can be worked into making your job promoting your group or company really easy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and for a small business, you know, spending $500 a month on progressive radio can deliver excellent returns.
Yeah.
This has been shown over and over again, and really this is what wound up happening here in Madison when we saved the mic. When they decided not to flip the format, they then reached out to us activists and said, okay, you know, we won't flip it, but, you know, you got yourself, and they gave us a time limit, and they said to show us that this can work commercially, and we reached out to the community and made sure it did.
Mm-hmm. And give us a couple of examples of the kind of people who were on the sidelines, and when you reached out to them, they decided to either divert part of their advertising budget or create a new advertising budget in order to support the mic in Madison.
Well, for example, we had a florist here in town that decided that they were going to go ahead and support the mic, and they really, I think your $500 a month may be exaggerating how much they spent on the mic, and they wound up having people come into their shop, sometimes people who didn't even need flowers at the moment, and lay 20 on the counter and say, thanks for supporting my station, and walk right out.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, that literally happened several times, according to the owner,
mm-hmm.
and it just astonished her. So she, of course, told the station, and then our local host Lee Rayburn wound up putting that in some of the live ads.
Wow, that's amazing.
But I mean, and that's just one example. We have had there is a restaurant in downtown Madison called Hawk's Bar and Grill that has now been able to expand to a new club called Green Monkey. Jade Monkey, because of the fact that he started advertising on the mic, and it allowed him to stay open even in the off-season on campus. And you have to understand, Peter, State Street in Madison only operates during campus, when people are on campus generally, and because of his advertising budget, he was able to keep open year-round and even expand to a new location.
Wow. Now, maybe there's a business in Davis that has that kind of a situation, or if you're near Cal State Sacramento. You may have a business that thrives during the school year, but you start to see it taper off, and you need to look for different customers during the summertime. This is a perfect time for you to start advertising and let people know about your business, about the service, or about your organization, and that's just one example. Let's take a call right now. Bonnie is on the line, listening at 1240 Talk City from Sacramento. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, Peter B.
Hello.
I had a couple of thoughts about what 1240 could do, and I was thinking about it even before you said had your little pitch. I've gone out to the website a few times trying to find out who are the advertisers, who are the local advertisers,
mm-hmm.
and who are the national, because we're getting so many syndicated.
Right.
And there's nothing out there to help me in No. I walked into my local Office Depot and I thanked them when I made a purchase the other day, but they were, you know, they didn't even know that they were advertising on 1240.
All right.
So I think, you know, that would be a help if we knew who were who was advertising and then that would be an incentive for the listeners to go shop at those places, because you know, this is during the work day for us, most of these shows, so we don't always know who's advertising.
All right, Bonnie, that's a great idea. I'll pass that along to the station.
And another one I'd really like to see happen is something like Nova M did, getting started off. I wouldn't mind being a member of 1240. I mean, I'm not talking charity here. I'm talking, you know, but we're members, and we would get certain little, you know, notes and email tidbit, and that might be another way of helping.
Okay. Well, I think those are both very good suggestions, and I thank you for bringing them forward, Bonnie. Go ahead, Aldis.
Well, I was about to say, and there's one other thing Bonnie and anybody out there who's in Sacramento can do to help the situation. Because keep in mind, obviously, KSAC is in the business of running its progressive talk station. It may or may not have the time to immediately put up, for example, a website showing all the sponsors. And I would think it would be a great idea if they did, but they might not be able to do it right away. So here's what you can do.
Okay.
Contact me at nonstopradio.com. That's proceed at nonstopradio.com. And let me know you're interested in doing this. And then set up, I'll help you guys set up basically a listener brigade to go ahead and listen to the station. Tell me who the sponsors are. We'll get it put up on a web page that you can then go ahead and see who's out there. And that's important, Peter, because the second step in saving progressive talk anywhere is to go into these businesses and tell them that you're there because they advertise on progressive talk, and they need to know who they are in order to do that.
Right. Okay.
What's that email again?
Bonnie, it's proceed at nonstopradio.com. That's Aldis's personal email account, proceed at nonstopradio.com. So, Bonnie, drop him a note this evening, and I'm going to put you in charge of collaborating on the advertiser webpage.
Okay.
And also, I'll get information from the station, and I'll pass your suggestion along to them. But one way or the other, we'll get this information up, and I agree with you. It's a very valuable tool in knowing who is patronizing KSAC and therefore who you in turn can patronize. Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break here and return. Aldis Tyler continuing with us. And if you'd like to offer an idea, a suggestion, an advertiser who you think could help save KSAC in Sacramento as a progressive talk outlet, we want to hear from you. Lines open right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious.
delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Checking traffic on KRXA. Couple of serious crashes still clearing up out there. Soledad, southbound 101 after Camphora Gloria Road. A pickup truck overturned several times and landed in a ditch off to the shoulder. Emergency crews on the scene. It looks like a medical helicopter is on the way for those with serious injuries. For Santa Clara County, westbound 152 after 156, an injury crash. Two cars in a big rig. That's still off to the side. Paramedics are on the scene there. For Gilroy, northbound 25 before you get to 101, a mudslide. That's in the northbound lanes. Browns Valley Road at Hazeldale Road in Coral. Alitos, watch out for a horse reportedly running in the lanes. And in Salinas, Blanco Road at Davis Road, a truck lost several bales of hay in the roadway. It looks like traffic is backing up as a result. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, this Valentine's Day, JCPenney is your undisputed jewelry headquarters for diamonds, gold, gemstones, and watches. Go to the jewelry store at JCPenney. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Children of the shine and the light, and I dial to it, and it's in my radio advised. With every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears in my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding the receiver when the switch broke, cause it's old. They're saying things that I can hardly believe, they really think we're getting out of control.
That's right. I'm Peter B. Collins. Aldis Tyler is with us from nonstopradio.com, and we are working to turn the business around so that we can save talk radio in Sacramento, progressive talk radio, on 1240 KSAC. As I mentioned, last week I got word from the station that they've encountered some financial problems, and they may be forced to change format if we can't turn that around. So that's what we're working on today, and I welcome your calls and comments here. Aldis is with us this hour, and we're joined by Paul in Sacramento. Hello, Paul. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I love your show. You're really an intelligent and well-informed guy. I love having access to be able to listen to you.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, really, Air America used to be my prime source of information, you know, aside from surfing the web. But when you're driving in traffic, radio is so handy just to, you know, so I really would think it's a tragedy if KSAC went off the air.
Well, we're going to do everything we can to save the station by bringing new business in. So do you have any ideas, Paul, on how we can get more advertisers to support the station?
Well, see, I don't think I'm the only one. I think there's a lot of people just like me. And if the advertisers realize that, and I will support them when I listen to their ads, if they realize that there's a lot of people like us driving around listening to them, then that's a revenue base.
Mm-hmm.
Years.
Well, could I...
Go ahead, Aldis. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Paul, here's what you do and everybody else who's listening.
if you want the advertisers to know that you listen to KSAC and that you want them to advertise on KSAC, you got to tell them. Seriously, walk into any business you shop at, go to any website you look at, any organization you belong to, tell them it is time to advertise where people like you listen. They know that you're a customer. They know that people like you are their customers, so they know that they will reach their customers if they advertise on KSAC, and they will only know that if you tell them.
Yeah, I'll start. I'll definitely start doing that.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Now to Cheryl in Sacramento. Welcome, Cheryl. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I believe it's August. Is that right? Talking with you? Who? The other radio host?
It's Aldous, A-L-D-O-U-S.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling because, first of all, my husband and I are very upset to hear what's happening with revenues there and the chance that you may be taken off the air. We both feel that these are historic times we're living in for progressive listeners, especially mm-hmm. with our upcoming Democratic candidates and what's happening on the political scene. And for you to be taken off the air is horrific to us. But my question is, in addition to raising revenue and going into local people that we go into and ask them to donate to the station and advertise, I can do that. I'm very comfortable. I'm walking in, and I've done fundraising for other things, and it's not an issue for me. But in addition, we would like to know who's blacklisting you in the corporate world so that we can email these corporations, tell them how we feel about that, and that we would not support them as a result of that.
I'll tell you what, Cheryl, there's a break coming here with a traffic report to help you get home. And after the break, I will run down for you the boycott blacklist situation, and I'll name some of the advertisers that you could send those emails to, okay?
Yes, I would appreciate that very much.
All right, stay tuned for that. More of your calls coming up, 888-5-PETER-B, the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Do you want some downtime? A break from work and worry without breaking the bank? At the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes in Watsonville will give you the breathing space you need. The Spa at Pajaro Dunes is now open to the general public. Spend an hour being pampered with a warm stone massage or European facial. Gather your friends together for a spa party or surprise your sweetie with a couples massage. Stay for a long, lazy weekend in a luxurious condo at the Dunes with 150 acres of beach and wetlands. You'll have your own ocean view, and the price is unbeatable. Only a short drive from anywhere on the Central Coast, relief is only minutes away without the time and expense of a long trip. We'll also simplify your wedding plans. Have your ceremony, guests, and special events all in the same place. In nearby Watsonville, at the Dunes and the Spa at Pajaro Dunes will make your life a little easier and a lot more enjoyable. Call 888-91-DUNES and mention KRXA to get our lowest rates. That's 888-91-DUNES.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Sun Street Centers now offers low-cost transitional housing for men in sobriety. Simply maintain a program of recovery and have 30 days of sobriety to qualify. These apartments are fully furnished with a large kitchen, living room, dining area, cable TV, and laundry. Sun Street is now taking applicants. Seven Suns Transitional Housing for Men with a sincere commitment to their recovery at a low cost. Call 753-5145, 753-5145 to apply. Sun Street Centers in Salinas.
Yeah. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join ThinkerToys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why ThinkerToys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. ThinkerToys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
When you take a breath, 80% of the oxygen you're breathing is created by plankton, a job which could be compromised if plastics continue to crowd the surface waters of our oceans. There are now areas of the Pacific 2 times the size of Texas where plastic outnumbers plankton 6-1. Save Our Shores is a marine conservation organization dedicated to educating and activating our community. To keep plastics out of our oceans, visit SaveOurShores.org or call 831-462-5660.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
The airwaves. Supposed to belong to the public, right? I'm Peter B. Collins, and if you just joined us, we are talking to our listeners, taking your phone calls, primarily from Sacramento, but not exclusively, about how to bring more revenue to 1240 Talk City, KSAC, in an effort to avert a possible format change. And this is something that we'd like your help with. Any ideas that you have, any friends that you have who either work in advertising or own a business that could divert or assign some of their advertising dollars to KSAC, that's the way that we can work together and coalesce to keep this station on the air and keep my program on in Sacramento. My self-interest, I think, is pretty clear here. Now, Aldous Tyler is with us. He is the founder of Nonstop Radio. They're on the web at nonstopradio.com. His personal email is proceed, I think because Aldous is tricky for people to spell, it's proceed at nonstopradio.com. Now, Aldous, just before the break, we were talking with a caller who wanted to know about the blacklist. And I happen to know a little bit about this because someone dropped it on me. And I managed to get the New York Times to write an article about this. It was in November of 2006, because I had received a copy of this memo from the ABC Radio Networks, which instructed its affiliated stations that carried programs from Air America to black out all ads from Hewlett-Packard. And HP was the one that that memo was about. But the memo also referred to other companies like Fox News, Walmart, Visa, Microsoft, and McDonald's, who are among the sponsors of conservative shows like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity, but they avoid or have their spots blacked out from a progressive talk radio. And this is a situation that you can address by writing to the companies involved. And I think if you Google Peter B. Collins and advertisers shun Air America, there's a good chance that that article will come up in your online search. And appended to it, I believe, is a list. I have a clipping from the paper here. But I think with that is a list. And I think that MediaMatters.org has it in their archives as well. So that's where you could dig up that information. Aldous, would you like to add anything else on the advertiser boycott of Progressive Talk?
Well, yes. First of all, I have a copy of the faxed memo itself that I'd be more than willing to email to anyone who wants to see it.
Okay.
The thing to keep in mind about this list, Peter, is that, frankly, this came down about the exact same time that Clear Channel Madison originally decided they were going to pull the plug on our local progressive talk station here. And I think it had a little bit of something to do with it because, frankly, I think it scared them because they were suddenly looking at this large list of national advertisers and they were like, oh, my God, how are we going to make money? This is, after all, a business. I mean, this is, first of all, in my opinion, the best way or one of the best ways we have to disseminate progressive information or, at the very least, news and views without conservative talking points attached. But it is a business, which means that when you see something like that kind of a blacklist and you're an owner of a station like this or you have to, you're responsible for running one, it's frightening. But here's why I think focusing on that blacklist is a mistake, and it's very simple. We don't need them. I mean, it would be nice. It would be very, very nice mm-hmm. if somebody with the kind of deep pockets of McDonald's or the big pharma companies that are on the list or anybody else wanted to go ahead and support Progressive Talk nationally. But if you focus on who you don't have, you are missing the fact that there is so much money that is in the hands of progressive business owners,
right.
that is in the hands of people who are neutral or even conservative business owners who want to talk to progressives. We have a jewelry store in Wisconsin that has five or six branches who's owned by someone who's known to be politically conservative, but he himself wrote a letter of support for keeping the mic on the air when it was about to go because he didn't want to lose that megaphone to the progressive city of Madison.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's all very interesting and on target. Let's go to Karen in Sacramento. Karen, thanks for calling. You're on with Peter B. and Aldous Tyler.
Well, my list has grown while I was on hold. But I did sales. I had my own company for a while, so I think of what I do during the day and who I contact. So I buy all my groceries at Sacramento Natural Foods Co-op.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Cafe Gratitude is going to move into the area in 1 or 2 months. And I know that when 1240 did the advertising for Bill Maher, the theater downtown was packed.
Yeah.
I buy my bike stuff at Mike's Bikes. My mechanic is Sacramento Japanese. And across the street, I always stay warm at Hamburger Mary's. And then I can walk to the theater at The Crest.
Right. What a beautiful theater that is. We were there for Uncounted in January.
Oh, boy. And then, of course, the University of Phoenix is founded by Dr. John Sperling, who's very liberal in his views.
Right.
And I adopted a kitty cat from the SPCA. I supported the Barack Obama campaign. They've got to have some money.
You know, it's interesting because the political campaigns don't spend much money on radio, at least the national presidential races. We often think of that. Oh, it's an election year, and we're a political station, so our politicians should support us. But the truth is that most of those campaigns use television for the bulk of their advertising.
And that is rotten.
It is.
That is really rotten. And Laura Flanders did a whole show on that, how they are not supporting us. But the right wing talkers will always go on the right wing shows, and they'll never turn down an interview. And they do, you know, direct money that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two other companies. Green Sacramento used to advertise on 1320. They do natural products. And then I know we have at least one really big solar company here because I see them advertise on Air America.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my little list.
Okay. Well, this is a great list. And would you mind when you get home, send it to me in an email form because I'm going to, you know, compile all of this information and pass it along to the station.
Well, are we going to get a salesperson going out to these places?
I'm not sure how it'll all work out, but I'm sure the station will respond and either call these places or send an account executive, as they're called.
Okay, because I heard they didn't have a salesperson.
Oh, no, there's salespeople there. I met them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you, Karen.
Okay, bye-bye.
Good to hear from you. Now to Greg in Sacramento. Welcome, Greg. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, I was going to offer a veteran's thought on this after 17 years, but I decided that perhaps maybe I should go to my other thought, which consisted of Harry Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Do you got a pen and paper handy?
Sure do.
I want to give you and everybody else who is tuning in to write this number down. It is his fax number.
Okay.
Voice their opinion on this FISA bill that he's tinkering with. It's area code 202-224-7327. And I would recommend highly that people fax his office, that's his D.C. office, instead of sending emails, because from what I've been told, and the word of wisdom is that they pay attention more to something that's on paper than emails.
Well, that may be, and you can't send snail mail. It takes weeks to get through the anthrax inspectors. So I think you're right that, a stack of faxes makes more of an impression than somebody who says, well, there were 42 emails, Senator.
Yeah, I remember we did this in the past. The term is make that fax machine overheat, even if you have to do it all night.
Gotcha, Greg. Thank you very much. Appreciate your activism. Now to Jerry in Eureka, listening on KGOE. Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm a business owner up here.
Uh-huh.
And I advertise on the station that carries you up here.
Well, I'm very pleased. Thank you for doing that.
But I can tell you, it's got nothing to do with the message. It has to do with ratings and demographics, and I think if you, because I do tell people to listen to you, even though you and I don't always agree.
Uh-huh.
And I think that the listeners would be better served, telling people to listen to you, because I do think you have a heck of a show, and I think that would do more than trying to figure out which advertisers we should. If you get higher ratings and the demographics match up my business, I'm going to advertise on the station no matter what the message is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that, Jerry. In the situation in Sacramento, they have strong ratings, and the issue is trying to connect with the right advertisers. And ordinarily, your route would be fine. But given that there is the possibility of a format change here, then we're motivated to try to make things happen a little faster. And
okay,
that's why I'm asking listeners to close ranks here and support the station and help bring in new advertisers, because that's what can make a difference.
Okay. Well, I'll do what I can up here.
Well, I appreciate that, Jerry. Aldous, do you have a comment?
Well, absolutely. First of all, Jerry's got the right idea in advertising on Progressive Talk because of the strong ratings. And the fact is that Progressive Talk generally is actually cheaper per minute than other formats. For one, it's a little more untested. It's a young format. So it's cheaper per minute than other formats. And at the same time, for the kind of wattage it's usually put out at, for the kind of reach it has an incredibly dedicated audience and really strong ratings, so which is why it's such a good value. And so, yes, on those merits that the last caller there, was it Jerry,
mm-hmm.
was saying, yes, Progressive Talk is an excellent buy, and it should be bought. It's just that it's so new that, honestly, people don't know.
Jerry, thanks for your support.
Thank you.
Great to have you listening, and I appreciate the call today. And I think this is Peggy on the Central Coast.
Yes, hi.
Welcome, Peggy.
Thank you. Since I'm not in that area, I'll just tell you that down here I go to all the various local advertisers down in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And one thought that I had was perhaps that Organic Bouquet, which is mainly an online business out of the Bay Area, they might be a very useful, might find that good exposure.
Right. Okay, I'll check them out.
And the other thing I would suggest locally are auto detail shops and tire shops.
Mm-hmm. I'm writing this down, auto detail and tires.
Yeah, because I've mm-hmm. gone all the way up to Santa Cruz just to get tires from the guy who's advertising with you here.
Uh-huh. Well,
yeah.
Well, thank you for doing that.
Oh, you bet. Every little bit, got to do it. Okay, thanks so much for your work.
Okay.
Oh, can I ask Aldous a quick question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Right, go ahead, yeah.
Aldous, I have a, I'm wondering, over in Honolulu, they have a real lack of this kind of radio. Are you aware of any project over there, or any way to start to create, what the best way is for people over there to start creating a station?
Well,
Well, if I understand you right, and first of all, yeah, thank you for asking. Hawaii has a real dearth of progressive talk program. There's virtually nothing there. And I have actually been looking into creating a new station over that away, but what I need is I need people in the area to work with me.
What I'm trying to figure out is is it best for people to just contact you through Nonstop?
Oh, absolutely. Nonstop Radio is devoted to this. We are here to secure progressive talk. And what we will do is we will work with anybody who contacts us. This goes for Honolulu, Milwaukee, Boston, anywhere that there isn't a progressive talk station that wants one. Contact me at proceed@nonstopradio.com. I will help them or you or anybody set up a station in that area. I will let you, basically I'll let you into every single trick I know to go ahead and pull together people so that together we can build a new station there by letting the advertisers in the area, the people who would advertise, know about it, letting the stations in the area know about the opportunity, and just presenting it until somebody bites, and that's really what it takes.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks for the call, Peggy. Appreciate that. And Aldous, in my email, I will forward to you my contact in Kona, who grows coffee and is developing a low-power FM station on the Kona coast. And
excellent.
He's planning to replay podcasts of the Peter B. Collins Show. So I'll pass that along, and we will continue to conspire. If you're listening in Sacramento and you have ideas on how we can bring new advertisers to KSAC, give us a call. There's room for you on the switchboard right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Aldous Tyler's with me from nonstopradio.com. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Checking traffic on KRXA, and we do have a couple of older crashes out there. Soledad, southbound 101 after Camphora Gloria Road. It's a major injury crash where a pickup truck overturned several times. It went into a ditch off to the shoulder. Emergency crews are on the scene. No lanes are blocked. Now that's in the final clearing stages. 152 westbound after 156, we have an injury crash. Two cars in a big rig. That's also in the final clearing stages off to the side with minor slowing as you approach the area. A new accident, Watsonville, West Beach Road at Lee Road. Vehicle off the roadway and into a ditch. Part of this vehicle still sticking up onto the roadway. Heads up Carmel Valley Road at Brookdale Drive. We have a stall partially blocking the roadway. And Highway 1 north of Radio Point, southern Monterey County. Broken down car there. Tow truck on the scene. The driver putting flares out to warn approaching motorists. This traffic report brought to you by Russell Stover Valentine Chocolates. Giving chocolates for Valentine's Day is a given, but what kind? Russell Stover is America's favorite heart box. Give the finest in chocolate. Give Russell Stover. Have a great night. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Holistic and alternative practitioners and individuals love the energy from the Amethyst Biomat. It offers natural and effective heat therapy in NASA-based technology. Far infrared heat simulates the immune system by causing an artificial fever and stimulating the immune system with multiple benefits. Improve many bodily problems with alkalizing your pH, removing acidic waste deposits responsible for most illnesses. Just lie on it to benefit with five different sizes. Give the power to create a fever and cure most diseases. To find out more about what the Amethyst Biomat can do for you, visit www.amethystbiomat.com. That's AMETHYSTBIOMAT.com. Or call Rachel at 1-888-337-7262. That's 1-888-337-7262.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners. Don't give up.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I don't give up. Neither does Aldous Tyler from nonstopradio.com. We're talking about ways to bring new revenues to KSAC and to keep progressive talk alive and well in Sacramento and everywhere, in fact. It's a very important quest, particularly in this election year. Bill's in Sacramento. Welcome, Bill. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
Hey, I was just coming back, I'm working on my house, but I was listening to you folks, and a lot of times there's a lot of us that really want to support the station, but we're not in a position, one, we have a business to advertise,
mm-hmm.
I work for somebody else, that maybe, one, we could get a listing of the people or make it more available that are supporting the station.
Right.
And two, maybe a way that we can all sort of chip in a little bit, you know, it's walk what you talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just a thought. I don't know if there's a way of doing it legally or semi-legally, but
well,
you know,
in some ways,
that we'd like.
Yeah, I appreciate that. In some ways, I've resisted the idea of soliciting contributions. Number one, because it becomes like Christian radio or, you know, some of these other outlets that are always mm-hmm. begging for money. And I don't know about you, but I don't appreciate the pledge breaks on NPR when I'm listening to a program I like and they hound you and you got to listen
oh,
to the phone ring in the background and all that stuff.
I don't know. It's sort of like a site like, you know, like Edwards and all the different people they used to have on their sites if you wanted to donate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
an option.
Right.
Because like a lot of us, like, I sell cars, so I'm not going to be in a position to advertise.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody, you know, if I knew that Joe Blow was a supporter, like the lady spoke about going a little extra distance to support the people that advertise and also to mention that we're coming because of that.
Right.
You know, just a thought. I don't know if it's too far-fetched, but
no, Bill, those are good thoughts. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. And
okay.
I really appreciate that you listen to the program.
I look forward to having a chance to hear the other side of the world for once.
Thank you. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join in. And Aldous, talk a little bit about the boycotts that you and supporters of Progressive Talk Radio have launched in certain markets.
Well, the basic idea, Peter, is, and this is partly what this list that I'm going to help people put together for Sacramento is about. The idea is if you know a business is part of the Progressive Talk support structure, if it's an advertiser, if it's a sponsor of your Progressive Talk station, do business with that business. Make sure they know you're doing business with them because they are a supporter. It's so important that these people know because, honestly, so few businesses get any kind of feedback whatsoever on their promotional campaigns that every person that tells them why they're there has so much weight. I mean, your average person, let's say, who runs a business, advertises, maybe puts an ad in the paper, puts some on this radio station, maybe on that radio station, and maybe has some people flyering for them. Well, if somebody comes in holding a flyer, they know the flyer worked. And so they'll think, okay, well, flyers are the way to go. But let's say one of their advertising sources is KSAC. Well, then, if nobody comes in and tells them, hey, I came in because I heard you on KSAC, they might even be tempted to drop that advertising revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So what you need to do is go in there, tell them you heard them on KSAC, and that's why you're doing business with them. It's so important because that way they can literally look at their cash register tape at the end of the day, and if they've heard a lot of people come in and say, hey, I'm here because you support the Progressive Talk Station here, they can go, well, advertising on that got me, I would have to say, at least 25 to 30% of today's take.
Yeah.
And they can really look at that and see, wow, you know, I've almost made back my advertising budget for the month just today.
Well, and here's somebody thinking along the same lines. This is an email from Carol in the Washington, D.C. suburb of Silver Spring, Maryland. She said that, and she even mentions the number, you can get Avery Inkjet 8577 cardstock, and they're the size of postcards, and you can print out messages using your computer. And she said, I use them to alert business and vendors of my local progressive radio station and talk show hosts or syndicates that I listen to, and I ask them to advertise, or I thank them for advertising. She said, I try to hand them to the manager if possible, but if I have to, I ask the sales associate to put it in their register and pass it on. And to ensure that that happens, I put a note complimenting the sales associate on their helpfulness. So she's read How to Win Friends and Influence People, the sales dog edition, I think.
Well, it's certainly an excellent way to do precisely what we're talking about, because not only does it tell them, but it gives them a physical reminder of exactly what was said. Because let's face it, especially if the business has a definite promotional campaign, you know, they may advertise on several stations, and they have the call letters right in front of them of the station that did it really does help.
Yeah.
So Peter, yeah, if you don't mind, let me sum up real quick, because mm-hmm. we've talked about a lot of strategies, but there are three really important things that we need to get out there again. You need to advertise on Progressive Talk if you have any way or excuse to do so. It doesn't matter if you're a nonprofit organization, if you're a business, heck, if you're just trying to make sure people know that you got married and you're thrilled. The point is that if you want a progressive audience to know about it, got to get to the Progressive Talk station and advertise. Secondly, tell everyone you do business with, in person or online, doesn't matter where you do business with them, to support Progressive Talk with their advertising dollars. I mean, as it was brought up, that mostly online florists, they can make some serious money no matter what market they hit if they advertise on Progressive Talk.
That's right.
And then third, tell every Progressive Talk advertiser that already is advertising that you interact with that you're there because of their Progressive Talk ad campaign. I mean, just like that, Peter, you can save a program, a station, a format, and a nation.
Yeah. Well, Aldous, I really appreciate your support and inspiration. We're going to work on this over the next few weeks. I encourage people to get in touch with Aldous. That's proceed@nonstopradio.com. And you know how to reach me. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. And any ideas you have, any energy that you want to put into it, will all be greatly appreciated. Aldous, thanks again. We'll talk to you real soon.
I'm always here, Peter.
Yes. Well, you always answer the phone. I'll say that. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today. We're going to do it again tomorrow.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds?
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Pentagon says it will seek the death penalty against enemy combatants implicated in the 9/11 plot. CBS News correspondent John Harchie has details.
6.5 years after the attacks on America, the Pentagon is proceeding with charges against some detainees held at Guantanamo.
The charges allege
that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks.
He's one of six now facing charges that could lead to the death penalty. Brigadier General Thomas Hartman says the accused are presumed innocent, as in civilian courts, and will have trial rights like anyone in the military court system, even beyond those afforded civilians.
If the accused is found guilty of anything, he gets an automatic right of appeal to the Court of Military Commission Review. It's an extra right for the accused in this case.
John Hartsey, CBS News, Washington.
Al-Qaeda remains active, and CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says U.S. officials are concerned about changes in the pattern of terrorist training.
What they're seeing now are camps in Pakistan and the tribal regions, intelligence officials say, that are much smaller. They only operate at night, for example. It's just small groups of people, and they seem to be more specialized. There's even indications that some of these camps may cater, if not exclusively, largely to Western-type recruits, people from Europe, potentially people from America.
A plot disrupted in Barcelona last month involved many Europeans just back from Pakistan. John McCain is still the Republican frontrunner, but Mike Huckabee, who won two contests over the weekend, took his campaign to Virginia today.
Virginians would like to vote, and they want a choice about who they vote for, and tomorrow we're giving you a choice.
Huckabee is challenging his narrow loss to McCain in Washington state caucuses. He says party officials stopped counting with just 87% of the vote in. The close race between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama could keep divorce lawyers busy in the months ahead. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds has one story.
The Scott family of suburban Washington is divided. Husband George is for Obama.
He just brings everybody together.
Wife Stanita is for Clinton.
Hillary has been there for us. Bill has been there for us.
Bill brought a lot to the whole community. But his time has come and his time has gone.
I don't know what the answer is. She's in trouble.
And there's a new nationwide poll out, and it shows that in a general election, head-to-head matchup, Obama defeated.